Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Hooray, 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 step right up, get your ticket to the freak show, it's Moran Monday on the horn, all revved up and raring to go, no one will be admitted after the first 5 minutes of the show beginning, Moran Monday on the right wing midway, step right up and get your ticket, you will be amazed, you will be surprised, you will be shocked, you will be horrified, hooray, hooray, hooray. Step right up, step right up right here. For the cost of wealth, but no cost at all, you can see the right-wing morons on parade. See them here. No, you can't see them because it's radio. Hear about them right here. Listen to them here. Hear the invective. Hear the vitriol. Hear the bigotry. Hear the racism. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Step right up, it's Moran Monday on the horn.
Yeah, it really, really is. Now, well, there I've gone and done it again, and I got new shtick that I got to do every Monday. But it is. It's Moran Monday on the horn.
That just came off the cuff a couple of weeks ago. But lo and behold, it seems to be entirely so appropriate. Because by the time Sunday is over and Monday has rolled around, the morons are loose like cockroaches on a dirty kitchen floor with the lights out. Oh my God, Becky, look at that moron! Yeah! And there he is in the chat room, the Get a Brain Morons guy. Now all we gotta do is find a copy of that picture that Bart Kopp had on his site the other day. I'm so glad Fox News, thank God for Fox News, I'm so glad Fox News keeps us informed. Done in crayon. Yeah, thanks TCBYS, I'll take 5 tickets. Oh, you'll want them all, and you'll want to keep them as souvenirs. Hooray, hooray, hooray. In a past life, I was a carnival barker, did you know that? Yeah. You know, it's just tough to look at the... And you know what the right wing has argued, by the way? I'm looking at the photo in the chat room. If you're not in the chat room, why aren't you in the chat room if you're listening live? Head on RadioNetwork.com. Easy, easy, easy. You know what's... You know, that photo of the Get a Brain Morons guy in his Cardinals t-shirt with his blue and with his white polka-dotted blue do-rag over his moron head... little snippet of an American flag in the background. Do you know, and I looked it up the other day because I was trying to find out a little bit more about it. Do you know that the right wing has argued that eponymous, iconic photograph of right-wing stupidity wasn't real? That wasn't a real right-winger? That, in fact, that's not a real moron? Well, it really, really is a moron, I promise you. That happened... And the Cardinals T-shirt is kind of a giveaway. That took place at the beginning of the Iraq War, I believe, near St. Louis, near a I believe it was a Boeing factory that was building things to blow up brown people with, if I recall correctly. You know, I don't watch a lot of TV. Most of me watching TV involves me being the typical middle-aged dad who sits down in front of the chair
or it sits down in the chair in front of the tube and just clicks for a little while until I've seen all the commercials there are to see. There's a new GE commercial out. Innovations for a better world. And yet, oddly enough, they don't show any of the munitions they make. It's all about light bulbs and jet engines. But God knows they do. They make stuff to blow, you know, GE. We bring brown folks' innards to light. Ugh. But it is Moran Monday. And, of course, the dude in the photo, and you've seen him all over the inner tubes. It's not a big truck, as Michael reminded us Friday night. It's a series of tubes. It just reminded me that, well, I think we all understand, don't we, that if he was back here today, Yeshua the brown-skinned Palestinian carpenter, brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer, would be a liberal, because there's no such thing as machine gun Jesus. And I think now, if he was saying the things that he said that were sketchily transcribed a couple of millennia back, he wouldn't say the poor you have always with you. He'd say the morons you have always with you. Because it's true. God, they're everywhere. I mean, everywhere. But, of course, being what it is, they are most at home in the Republican National Party. And at their home, the Republican National Committee homepage. If you want to know what the web address is, you go find it out. I'm not a-telling you. But apparently, there was something discussed at Democratic Underground over the weekend. And just as background, do you remember when MoveOn.org had a television commercial, a TV commercial contest, and people made their TV commercials and sent them in for consideration, and one of them just happened to compare George W. Bush with Hitler? Now, I don't compare George W. Bush with Hitler. I just note the fact that his daddy, did a boatload of business with Hitler's financier, which made it easier for Hitler to pay for the gas ovens that roasted 6 million and the munitions that helped kill 50 million others. That's all I say. But anyway, there was all kinds of pearl clutching and hand wringing and gasping all over the inner tubes and all over the for-profit TV box. Of right-wingers saying, I can't believe that Move On would put up something like this. This is just over the limit. This is just over the edge. I can't believe. Of course, being Republicans, they were lying because Move On didn't produce the ad. Well, neither, too, did Think I found this over at Think Progress. Neither, too, did the Republican National Committee create the ad that shows Barack Obama chewing on a piece of fried chicken. You know, one of those motivational poster kind of things, a black box with a photograph in it and white letters explaining it in brief terms underneath. The Republican National Committee did not produce this photograph of the President of the United States, the teeth exposed, chewing on a chicken bone, fried chicken bone. And the Republican National Committee did not title it Miscegenation is a Crime Against American Values, Repeal Loving versus Virginia. Morons, you don't repeal a Supreme Court decision. You can overturn it, but you can't repeal it. Because repeal, well, it's terminology, I understand. They're still morons, okay? They just are. But the Republican National Committee didn't put that up on their website. Oh, hell no. But we're going to apply the standard that was enunciated by the Republicans and the Bushistas and the dedicated followers of Dem Leader and the dead-enders and the 19 percenters
We're going to apply the standard that they enunciated in this instance. Now, granted, this photograph, Jesus Christ, just looking at it, I'm going, this is what year? 1609. Yeah, that's what I thought. No. 1859? No. 2009? No, it can't be 2009. Not when you're using this level of sad, sickening, old race-baiting stereotypes. This can't be 2009. Scotty! You screwed up. Sherman! One of you two! Either the dog or the Scotsman. Somebody get the way back or way up machine right, okay? Just fix it. Because this cannot be 2009. But, sadly, it is. And if you will turn in your Bibles to 32nd Flip-Floppians, verse 22. You will find, yea, verily, and the Master did once say, the morans ye have always with ye. And ye do. And we do. And like I said, they are. They're like cockroaches scurrying on a dirty kitchen floor and counters and sinks and all over with the lights out. And you turn the lights on them and all over the thing. You just go, ew, I want to move. I'm moving tomorrow. I'm not living with these. But the problem is, there's no raid, there's no decon for them, or is there? There is raid and decon for the morans. The hateful, hate-filled morans. Just as those filthy cockroaches scurry back behind the baseboards when you turn the kitchen light on, so too do the right-wing repiglican morans scurry behind the baseboards when you turn the light of truth and facts on them. So using the Repiglican National Committee's own standard, my question is, when will the Repiglican National Committee apologize for featuring this vile piece of miserable race baiting on its website? When? Of course, it's entirely possible that since we are talking about Repiglicans, the answer, it's not when, it's if. Because they're no good at apologizing. Why, it's just a little piece of humor. Dang, ain't a bunch of merc and the sissy liberals all politically correct. You can't make fun of nothing anymore. Where's your sense of humor, Merca? That's what I heard that Steve Doozy say the other day on the Fox News morning show. Where's your sense of humor, Merca? We ain't got no sense of humor in this country no more, and I think that's a damn shame we got to walk around being all politically correct all the time. Makes me sick. Whatever happened to my freedom of speech? Yeah, whatever indeed. Whatever indeed. That's not all. That's not all. There's an ad running in Virginia. And frankly, yeah, there goes Marty straightening me out. Actually, that was two entries that depicted George W. Bush with Adolf Hitler. Two. Okay. But Move On didn't produce either one of them. You know what I mean? But the Repiglicans had an absolute hissy. I mean, they had pink, purple, polka-dotted kittens with crocheted tails screaming for Move On to apologize. This is disgusting. They need to apologize. When Move On wasn't even responsible for the content and did not create them. But that's okay. The question now, not when, but if the Repiglican National Committee will apologize for its piece of bigoted hatred this thing was featured on their website. On their page. And now the shoe is on the other foot, and we shall see how it fits. My money says they won't apologize. And now they apologize. Apologies? We don't have stinking apologies. We're the Repig-licking party. We are the last sad, tawdry little rump of the old Confederacy, and we're not going to apologize for being bigoted racists, because we are! If we apologized, it would mean that we thought we weren't. But we are! So there. Put that in your politically correct pipe and smoke it. Bunch of dope-headed hippies. Oh, but it goes on and on and on this evening. Serious stuff, too. I know that a lot of you are signed up at ilovemountains.org, and you received the action alert over the past couple of days, and you may have heard about it first here on the Horn, about what's going on Coal River Mountain. Blasting has begun. Massey Energy doesn't have a permit for a valley fill. They don't have any permits. All they've got is a permit for the operation itself, which means that they got to just pile up all the dirt once they segregate out the filthy coal. And they'd even agree that it's filthy at that point, because they have to wash it. It's dirty. It's dirty coal. But they're going to make clean coal out of it. Yeah. But they started blasting, and they don't have anywhere to put the dirt. They're just moving, and that shows you why they're doing it. They're doing it because the Coal River Wind Project, which was the brainchild of Coal River Mountain Watch, the Coal River Wind Project is a threat to Massey Energy. So they're extracting coal that they say is too cheap to extract. They've got people idled at other sites. And they've said, we're going to leave the coal in the ground till the market price rises again. But for some reason, they're blasting and moving coal on the V-Tree permit of Coal River Mountain? You tell me. You try to tell me that that's not about trying to defeat the Coal River Wind Project as quickly as they can. That means that there's been a lot of pressure brought to bear. You know there was pressure brought to bear last week on Joe Manchin, the governor of West Virginia, who said, I don't get involved in the permitting process. And then promptly began running his mouth about the EPA and involving himself in the permitting process. What he means is he doesn't get involved in the permitting process if it would actually benefit community residents who don't want to have fly rock and poison dust cover their lives. That's what Governor Joe doesn't get involved in so much. No, not Governor Joe. Doesn't do that. And so I know many of you are calling the White House. I know many of you are calling as many places as you possibly can. And I know that you are taking all the action you can take. And I want to thank you for that in advance. You have shown what can be done in terms of... in terms of citizen advocacy. The number, if you want to call the White House and if you want to fax the White House, it's 202-456-2461, area code 202-456-2461. You can fax them there. And you can make your feelings known. Or if you prefer to make a phone call to the White House switchboard, that is area code 202-456-1414. And the message is simple. Use your executive power as the President of the United States. Tell your administrative agencies to shut this down. While we still have a mountain to work with, while we still have a mountain that can provide clean, perpetual employment at good wages for people in the Coal River Valley. Remembering, of course, that so many of the people who work on these Massey and other coal company job sites drive far, far away to get away from the mess they make every day. And they go and live in peaceful bliss miles upon miles upon miles away from the hell on earth they create for the people who live there. You can call the White House switchboard, 202-456-1414. Or you can fax something written at 202-456-2461. And I will try to keep you updated as much as I have information coming in. There are discussions going on about how we respond to this. Also, the other another program note for you, just a reminder, there will be no show Wednesday. And no show Friday, because those are both travel days, as they say in the business. Thursday, however, we will have coverage beginning with the very beginning itself of the conference in Washington, D.C., being hosted by the Campaign for America's Future. We will have all of that coverage for you, and then Guy and I will do a sort of special doubleheader. I love working with Guy James. There's nothing quite like it. He's an absolute joy to share time behind a microphone with. And we will do that Thursday afternoon from the same site. And we're looking forward to it very, very much. It's a work trip, make no mistake. But it's a trip well worth the making. The other, show on Thursday, lots of coverage on Thursday, starting at about 9 o'clock Eastern time. You can tune in and hear what's being said. But no shows Wednesday and Friday. And a reminder, just to let you know what happened after the challenges that went on Friday evening. You know, Michael, Kid A from the chat room got the ball all rolling with, his pledge. And yes, we did get 10 folks, including at least 5 folks who had never contributed before, to give $5 each to help keep the horn afloat. So that means that Michael will, in fact, send $50 each to the horn, to Guy James, and to Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org. And that's because of what you did. Texas Betsy also agreed. We agreed to the to those terms, and she has sent $25 to the horn, to Guy James, and to the White Rose Society. And, of course, Maura called from New Jersey to say that she would pitch $250 in toward this fundraising and challenge folks to meet that $250. And we still need for that to happen. Several of you have done that, and the numbers have been tallied, but it's not where quite it needed. Well, we need about another $150 to make to match up with what Maura pledged by Friday. So that offer is open until Friday. So that is where we stand this Monday evening, this Moran Monday. And there's lots of other morons out there. And I got a feeling we're going to have fun tonight. Because they're annoying. Unfrozen. We got out there unfrozen caveman Chamber of Commerce president. Did you hear this? The United States Chamber of Commerce, after having washed its own face in raw egg last week with the yes men, and the press conference at the National Press Club, that was, I believe, Eric Wertschlegel, who made an ass of himself. Well, their president, the Chamber of Commerce unfrozen caveman president, is a guy by the name of Tom Donahue. He's a major climate change denier. And he gave a 75-minute interview to Politico today that was just apparently loaded with the fun words that you can't say on the TV box. That's how it's described, as a 75-minute profanity-laced interview with Politico. And when asked about the science behind global warming, he got all sort of unfrozen caveman Chamber of Commerce president slash Zen master, I guess you'd say. And he said, is the science right? Is science not right? I don't know. I'm just an unfrozen caveman Chamber of Commerce president, and this all confuses me. Okay, he didn't, that's what I immediately thought of, was the great Phil Hartman SNL character, unfrozen caveman lawyer. I am confused by all of this. Is the science right? Is the science not right? I don't know. I'm confused. I'm an unfrozen caveman. Yeah, what did we say Friday night? They're Neanderthals? What happened to them? Yeah, just checking. So that's where we are this Monday evening at about 26 minutes past the hour. And we will go straightway to the phones, I think. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello, Bob.
Hey, Juanita.
Greetings from Florida.
Oh, dear.
Whatever.
It sounds like there's some trepidation in that, Juanita.
Oh, I don't know. I have something to tell you about climate change, but I wanted to ask you a question. Did the United States EPA go ahead and give them the okay to start?
No, that's the problem here. They don't have a valley fill permit, so the Army Corps is not really involved. And since they say they're not burying any streams, the Clean Water Act isn't involved either. That's the claim.
I was just wondering because I hadn't heard that the EPA had given the go-ahead, but it sounded like your governor was trying to.
I'm sure Governor Joe just wishes they'd go ahead and just blow the bejabbers out of that.
You know what? I really wish that they would really have to pay through the nose for this or pay through something.
Yeah, it would be nice because that crowd usually doesn't.
But anyway, I've been having trouble sleeping lately, and I thought I went to bed early last night and woke up. I thought it was 7 o'clock, and it was only about 2:30. So I turned on C-SPAN.
Oh, that's never a good sign.
Well, you ever heard of accuracy in media?
Yeah. I think you and Agnes saw the same thing.
The global warming?
Yeah, she came running into the room and said, "Oh, honey, you got to see this. You just got to
see
this." I saw some of it.
I saw the whole thing.
But some of the usual characters I also recognized. Lord Monckton, wasn't he among the he among the elect?
He was the advisor to Thatcher.
Right.
He was her science advisor.
Right, and just crazier than a sprayed roach.
Well, Mark Morano, talking about Morano? Moran is Morano.
Yeah.
He's with the Climate Depot. And what's funny, they all were mentioning the have-nots and the have-less, especially in Africa.
Yeah, because they're all concerned now.
Oh, yeah. But the one that really got me was Anne McElhinney.
Piece of work.
Oh, she gets upset. Well, I used to be a liberal. I think she's from Ireland. I guess Mark Morano's from here, but they're not. She has made a documentary, so-called, and she's telling about Rachel Carson, how that she caused the deaths of so many children.
Oh, that is one of the sickest, meanest, oldest, nastiest, most vile canards that dirty crowd likes to use.
Because she got DDT ousted.
Right.
And so many children have died because of that.
Children in Africa. Children in Africa, I'm telling you, millions have died because of Rachel Carson getting DDT banned. She's just a bad person.
Yes. And another thing, she talking on and on, and she was talking to us, but she said, well, what about the birds? She said, I don't care about the birds. I care about the children.
I know.
That's what she said. And I didn't hear one thing that they gave to prove their point. Now, that Morano, he had a lot of jokes, you know, and the people that always go, ah, ha, 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 you know, wasn't that many, but they were all just, they just were having
real knee slappers.
Yeah. But Al Gore, my gosh, Al Gore, you know what they're doing now, according to Ann? They're teaching the green religion in schools.
Really?
The green religion, and you're not supposed to be teaching religion in schools.
I'm pretty familiar with your Southern Baptists and your Anabaptists and your hard-shell Baptists and your soft-shell Baptists and your United Church of Christ and your Lutherans and Presbyterians and Methodists and Episcopals and Roman Catholics and Greek Orthodox, and I ain't never heard of no green religion.
Well, you have now, Bob.
You reckon they'd ordain me, Juanita?
Well, in the green religion, yeah, because you're one of those.
I'm a greeniac.
Like me.
Yeah, I'm a greeniac.
Greeniac.
That's right. Don Blankenship done said so.
Do that to the, what is that, that maniac? She's a maniac. Go instead, she's a greeniac.
Oh, I think John Fox is listening now. He may have a new project to work on. Greeniac, to the tune of Maniac, John, if you're credit Juanita on this one.
Yeah.
You want to write the lyrics?
Me?
Yeah.
I'll give it a try. I don't know. I'll have to see what I can do. But anyway, then she says that they're having forced viewing in school of Al Gore's, you know, documentary, but it's been proven to have so many misconceptions. And also, as far as the polar bears, there's much more of them now than there ever was. They're not dying out.
No.
But who cares?
They're growing fins. I mean, this gets them in trouble because they have to start referencing evolution, and that's a whole other kettle of fish for them. But we all know that whales evolved from wolves.
Yeah.
I mean, they did. So, you know, polar bears are just evolving into fuzzy sharks.
But this is what she's telling people to do, parents. They're going after the teachers. She wants people to write in if their children have been forced to watch this in school. Now, she's trying to get her little doodle documentary in school. But, there's been some of the children been forced to watch Al Gore's documentary for at least three times, maybe four times.
You know, I've just... You've just created this little image in my mind of some poor little fourth grader with his eyelids sort of taped back with duct tape, and he's strapped into his little fourth grade desk, staring at the screen, mumbling, "Yes, Al, I will save the planet."
You sound like Al Gore.
Don't tell Al you said that, and I won't.
I know, but I love him. But she's wanting parents to write in to them and report any teachers that are teaching Greeniac, the green religion, in school. And this woman's something else. She's doing this all for her children.
Of course. It's
her children and all the other children, especially the ones in Africa.
Right. The ones that she would never vote for president because they're all, you know, brown.
But what was really interesting to me was how much, and I've heard other Republicans doing this lately, they're really pushing down on Leslie Graham. I could not believe it.
They're having a sure enough hissy on him.
Yeah, they're selling him. They're saying he's going over, you know, to our dark side, our green side. And you know what I was telling my son about? I said, I think maybe it has something to do with Glenn Beck. Didn't Leslie Graham say Glenn Beck was making a good living by crime?
Yes, he did.
Now, that's a no-no. You don't say that about Glenn Beck.
Oh, or Glenn will say nasty things about you on his radio program.
And you'll never hear the last of it till he gets what he wants.
And, you know, because on the Sunday shows this past weekend, Juanita, the woman who left the woman who left Fox News and said part of the reasons that she left Fox News was because of Glenn Beck.
I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, her name was Jane Hall, and she had been a contributor to Fox News. And she and Howie Kurtz asked her, well, did you leave in part because of him? And she said, well, yeah, he's dangerous and he needs to be called out. Well, you know, you can't say that about Glenn Beck and Glenn Beck not get back at you from behind the microphone when you can't defend yourself. Oh, you're gonna love this, Juanita. Here we go.
Here's I don't know, this idiot that left Fox. What is her name? Do you have any idea, Pat, what this woman's name is?
You know, I don't think I've even ever seen her before.
I've never seen her before either. But she was on some other network, and she was talking about why she left Fox, and here's what she said.
The reason you left is because you feel they have less debate than they used to. In other words, it used to be Hannity and Combs, now it's just Hannity.
Right.
It used to be Bernie and Jane, now it's just Bernie.
Yeah, I think there's less debate than there was, and I'm also, frankly, uncomfortable with Beck, who I think should be called out as somebody whose language is way over the top.
And was that
scary.
A factor in your deciding to leave Fox?
It was.
All right.
Okay, well, don't let the door hit you on the ass when you leave. I'm going to miss you, I am, whatever your name is.
What a class act, huh?
Yeah.
Just,
well, good on her.
Yeah, good on her. And good on her for having the guts to say that.
Right.
Because,
right.
You know, as he proved today, you cannot dangle bait in front of this guy that he won't take.
Well,
which is convenient because it also, you know, he's also, this being Moran Monday, he's also a Moran, Glenn Beck.
Do you remember when I told you about him going on The View? And
yes.
That Whoopi Goldberg and Barbara said something to him about what he said on the show about them? That they had reserved seats on this train. They were all going to the same hearing or whatever in Washington. And that he couldn't sit down because it was reserved for them. And then they came in, you know, and they said, why did you, you know, say that? That wasn't true. And he was kind of hemming and hawing around, halfway apologizing. When he got back on his show, he said, I told the truth. They need to apologize to me.
His meteoric rise, I hope, will only be surpassed, Juanita, by his meteoric fall. And, you know, meteors do burn up as they come down. So, you know, I give it another couple of years before he's found drunk in some alley somewhere with a little boy and a syringe and a bottle of screw top wine.
The way I feel, I wouldn't shed a tear for him. That's not right, I guess. But I know.
Well, no, and don't feel bad for not being willing to shed a tear for him, because you know what? He wouldn't shed a tear for you.
I know.
And I realize that's not the standard of measure, but the fact is, it's his reality.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna go back to the mountaintop removal. I just hope that there's no violence. That if there is, I hope it doesn't harm any of the good people of West Virginia that are. You know that their homes are being destroyed. Of course, that includes you. I just hope that. I've had bad feelings. I'm like the lady you interviewed, you know, the one that she was sick and she couldn't go to that meeting. And that was such a wonderful interview. And so I said, I couldn't help but cry about it. And anyway, I just hope that no one comes to harm that. In the right. And I definitely believe that y'all are in the right about all of this. I really believe that.
Well, I do appreciate that, Juanita. We think we are as well.
The question is, you know, whether or not...
And you know more things are wrought by prayer than this world knows about. Well, I don't know how exactly that says that, but anyway, I really believe in it. I've had it to help me, and I believe it can change things.
Well, we appreciate your prayers, because they are... Everything that anyone anywhere can do to make this situation better needs doing.
Good thoughts, good loving thoughts. It doesn't matter what your religion is, if they're good and just loving thoughts. To me, that's the type of prayer I believe.
I think you've got a very, very good handle on the situation.
Yeah.
You know what. Well, I just I was checking my email a little bit ago, Juanita, and I got an email from one of our neighbors here, somebody who
from,
from one of our neighbors here where we live.
Oh, uh-huh.
And she has to deal with poisoned water. And lo and behold, there it was, a new permit application for up on Golly Mountain, you know, just miles away from national recreation areas and national park areas, and there's another permit for water pollution discharge.
Oh,
and you just sit there and you think, my God in heaven, it never lets up.
Yeah.
Never does.
Yeah.
So I appreciate your prayers, your good thoughts. And nobody, go ahead.
No, I just said we have to keep on keeping on.
Well, we do, and nobody here has given up, and the effort is going to, the effort will redouble. Because the out-of-state coal company that's doing this to people who live in southern West Virginia can't be allowed to get away with it. And frankly, we have to, and I know what a dangerous word believe is, Juanita, I do, but we have to believe that if we have the facts and we have the truth and we have decency and honesty and honor and justice on our sides, then we must, not shall, but must prevail.
Right.
So, you know, that's the plan.
It seems like so often, you know, that I know like this thing with the health care plan, you know, well, they say now there's going to be is in the Senate, it's going to be that. But I read a little bit of when I was logging in, I read a little bit of your, what you said about him going back and forth. So, but it has gotten better in some ways. But
right, and it's always darkest just before the dawn, certainly.
Yeah, that's what they say, yeah. And that's true sometimes. But I think sometimes if everything goes easy, it may not be the right thing.
No, and we don't learn from our successes. We learn from our mistakes.
Yeah.
That's human nature.
Yeah. Okay, Bob, and you're going to be gone?
Traveling Wednesday, broadcasting Thursday, and traveling Friday.
Okay.
Or I may be traveling Saturday, depending on something else that's happening on Friday in D.C. Remains to be seen.
Okay, well, you take care.
All right, thank you, Juanita.
Night-night.
Good night. Calling from Central Florida, that's our pal Juanita, and we move onward. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, what's up?
Oh, plenty of Morans this week. And
do you have any Nevada flavored Morans or
not Nevada flavored, but just well, today is a special day in Moran history. You know GeoCities?
Yes.
Today it dies.
Really?
Yahoo's pulling the plug.
Wow, you know, that thing, GeoCities was so huge once upon a time.
I remember. It was freaking, that was right around when I started, you know, browsing the internet. I mean, you know, nearly eons before I even found, like, you know, liberal radio or anything like that. I mean, it's like, it's so weird. I mean, and it's such a, I get, because the LA Times, their internet blog, has a little story on it, and it's like, apparently some people are trying to rush to get it all archived because, you know, Yahoo ain't helping. They're just going to yank it off. But today's the last day.
Just poof, gone?
Yeah, they gave a warning, I think, earlier this year, but today is the end.
I'll be darned. I had missed that. I'm glad you brought it up, Garrett.
Yeah, granted, there's a lot that good that probably came of it, but still, Moran Central. Oh, boy. Oh. And on top of that, there's the reasons why I hate the Fox. Not the news, just the regular Fox.
Okay.
Yeah. There's the, they're canceling, they're going to scheme to cancel yet another TV show.
Oh, what's going now?
Oh, Dollhouse. They pretty much, they're getting the axe ready. They sharpened it.
Ah, they didn't even give that thing a chance, did they? I mean, that's, isn't that Josh Whedon?
Yeah, another
Buffy the Vampire Slayer guy?
Yeah. Yeah, last Friday was the best episode since, the one that Fox decided not to air last May because of some contract reasons. But yeah, this one, after this really good episode on Friday, it's like, oh, it's going on hiatus till December. Like, there's going to be two in a row. Double, burn off two per night. And I was like, oh, God. I was like, I had to swear at the TV. I had to use the fun words. I was like, Fox just had to play me for, a moron.
And that they will do, and gladly at that.
And then for the double feature yesterday during the football, they're promoting their garbage crap tonight, and they're like, how this was potentially baseball tonight if the Angels hadn't actually won.
Yeah, there was that. Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't have the if no baseball tag. Oh, I hate Fox.
Like the fix was in.
Yes. And it's like, it's bad enough that anything happens in basketball, you get that, because of Tim Donaghy, but now you get this. It's like,
well, let me ask you something. I don't want the nasty emails about how nobody wants to hear about the NFL or sports or anything. This isn't related to sports qua sports, but over the course of a college football Saturday and a pro football Sunday, you get a steady diet of pretty much the same ads until they're just scorched into your brain, right? I mean, you experience that,
yeah,
too? Okay.
I mean, even though my college football team of choice is Notre Dame, and I very much mute the NBC TV.
You mean the Notre Dame Broadcasting Corporation?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mute the TV for the radio broadcast because the NBC TV coverage of that, it makes me want to kill myself. And that's before the advertisement.
what I'm asking here, have you seen this new, and I don't know, maybe it's running in other rotations too, the DirecTV HD ads, some low-rent celebrity pitching why it is they've got it. Okay, have you seen this new one with David Spade?
Yes. Yes, saw it all weekend.
Are you okay? This is just, I have to have this as a sort of reality sanity check, Garrett. Are you as disgusted by that thing as I am? And just to do the setup real quick, it's David Spade sitting on a couch with cut-ins of Chris Farley. Dead Chris Farley. Tragically dead Chris Farley. And they have got his corpse up out of the ground, metaphorically speaking, to hustle high-definition direct TV. And it's just disgusting.
After the first one, I can't believe it because it's been so long since they did it. Remember, in the early 90s when they had the Diet Coke commercial with all the dead celebrities, freaking I think they had Bogey and they had they had a who's who of golden age dead celebrities, and then they had the Fred Astaire with the vacuum cleaner.
Yep.
And then everybody got so freaking furious that they kind of cut that back on it. I was shocked. I mean, I'd seen they've been doing a series of them with other, you know, inserts in the other movies, but this was just like, oh my God. When I saw it, I was like, no way. Especially since one shot has like a body double for Chris Farley because of the angle.
Right, they're shooting it like B-roll footage from behind the Farley bodies. And this in from our pal Marty, who says, first they kill Firefly, now Dollhouse. I guess I won't be watching the World Series.
Yeah, and it's like Dollhouse was the first show that Fox had. Friday night show that Fox had actually bothered to renew since Millennium. I mean, a decade ago.
I'm just wondering because isn't DirecTV also Rupert Murdoch?
You know, I think I can get on the Googles here and find out.
Well, remember, it's not a big truck.
Yeah, I know. It's a series of tubes.
Yeah. I thought DirecTV was Rupert Murdoch, but I just, you know, I was sitting there watching the games. And here, okay, this is, don't worry, sports-hating people. This is all I'll do. Adrian Peterson officially has the stud lick, the stud hit of the entire NFL season as of yesterday afternoon in the late in the fourth quarter in Pittsburgh. That's all I'm going to say.
Let's see, is it it's controlled by Liberty Media, who is conglomerate John C. Malone.
I could swear Rupert's got his tentacles in there somewhere, but maybe I'm wrong. Yeah, okay, see, here's Marty. Yes, Murdoch owns DirecTV.
Yep, I just...
You haven't plowed through the Shell Corporation yet.
Yeah. Because I know that News Corp there, they're helping to conspire to turn Hulu, you know, which is one of the online...
Oh, yeah, I know what Hulu is.
TV show services. There's talk of that turning into a fee-based service next year.
Oh, well, of course there is. Yeah.
And here's the thing. The lock will be in if Comcast buys NBC Universal, which seems to be, you know, a sure thing. Because, you know, what can you say? Because Comcast don't want people, you know, using the internet too much, you know, at least for stuff like that, downloading the TV shows, because it cuts into their cable stuff.
Yeah, jeez. I know.
Because I know. Comcast has been, in many areas, I know that Comcast have been doing download-like limits per month.
Mm-hmm.
You know, limiting people's bandwidth for their service, you know, as a scheme to get people, you know, increased bandwidth per month, you know, like back in the AOL and GeoCities days. Wow. Ain't it funny how that works out?
Yeah, it's funny. They don't have any new marketing plans. They just recycle the old ones that already didn't work.
And they just, I mean, it's just like, and you think about it, it's like, yeah, some of this affected like sports, but, you know, shows like, say, Dollhouse and all that, I mean, smart TV, you know, it's like makes you want to have a television set. You know, seriously. I mean, yes, TV is a distraction some of the times, but when you have good TV, it actually makes you think.
Well, yeah, if you've got the good stuff. I mean, okay. And of course, I understand that different tastes and the fluidity of taste and everything. But, you know, Agnes and I were geeking on public TV the other night. You know, it was Nova. And, of course, baby anything, except maybe baby tarantulas. She doesn't get warm and fuzzy about baby tarantulas. But, you know, there was my lovely wife getting all warm and fuzzy about a baby hippo. No. It was a baby rhinoceros. And it does make you think. And there's cool stuff out there.
I mean, that's why I get mad whenever people complain, all TV's terrible. It's like, no, there's lots of good TV. You just have to really freaking dig for it.
It's all the force. You know, there's the force of good and there's the dark side. And, you know, the Fox is Emperor Palpatine. I mean, you know, and Rupert's Emperor Palpatine. And you know, I think if you go and you look at a photograph, Roger Ailes really is beginning to look like Darth Vader with the mask off.
Yeah, or like in the third, because in the third, you know, of the prequels, I mean, that's how they explain how, you know, Palpatine gets all nasty looking, you know, he gets the lightning in the face. He's starting to look more like that, you know, all evil and, you know, twisted and all that. But the thing is, I mean, that's just, you know, when you can take off the funhouse mask. I mean, you know. He'll do anything for a buck.
Yeah, but seriously, go and find a recent picture of Roger Ailes and see if he doesn't just look like Darth Vader with the mask off.
Oh, when I was, like, looking for word on Dollhouse, I saw some frickin' where that the Republicans might actually want frickin' Ailes to run in 2012.
I have seen that, and that's kind of why he popped into my mind.
Yeah, I was like, oh. That was the last part of the, oh, my God, I hate Fox. Because you know that slimy, Ailes is slimy enough to find a way to, you know, do an October surprise or something. Even if Obama bats 1,000% on everything we want, you know, gives us, you know, turns the whole, I mean, even if he makes the ground turn to gold, you know, Ailes would find a way. He's just, I mean, look what he did. He built Fox News. That's all you need to know about how slimy he can be.
And plenty slimy, that is. I still haven't run the rest of the clip from the Lonesome Roads, the Rodeo Clown yet. I know. Hey, Garrett, good talking to you. You got a rooting preference in the series?
Let's see. The Yankees are in the World Series? Anybody but the Yankees.
Ah, you're one of those.
Yes.
Now I'm going to keep my big mouth shut because that way I can keep my New York listeners. Oops, just gave it away, didn't I? But, yeah. Hey, look, you know, let the Phillies have their fun. Right?
Yeah, well, the thing is that it's just like what I thought going into the NLCS with the Phillies. They can beat anybody, but if Bredlich has another implosion... They're screwed.
Oh, concise analysis. You know,
it's just like they know he's a ticking time bomb. They stitched together in the first two rounds. It's like this train. You see it coming. And it's like.
And the wheels are wobbling and wobbling more with every turn. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Phils have Spike on their side, so. They got to have something going for them.
Yeah.
Spike is the force is strong with Spike.
Yeah.
Well, Garrett, good talking to you, brother, and we will talk soon, I hope.
Yep, certainly we'll try to.
All right, take care.
Bye.
Bye now. You know, GeoCities is one of those iconic things. I had no idea it was going bye-bye. Eh, well. And I'm sure Yahoo will find something to replace it that'll be totally screwed up. Because that's how the series of tubes works sometimes when you're desperately trying to wrench some capital out of it and find a way to wrench some profit out of it. You know, with fava beans. Yeah, just to finish up real quick before we go to the top of the hour, what Juanita and I and all of us listen to together, Glenn Beck slur of Jane Hall, you know, that multi-millionaire radio that goes down, that high quality of broadcasting that happens on the public airwaves, and for which the public, I must say, is so grateful and so frequently consulted. Yes. Let's finish with the slur, because There's going to be a language. It's, you know, it's Glenn. It's Glenn Beck Rubio slang.
Right, and I was
on, you know, on language. So let's give it a go here, because the language part's the funnest.
And now it's just Bernie.
Yeah, I think there's less debate than there was, and I'm also, frankly, uncomfortable with Beck, who I think should be called out as somebody whose language is way over the top.
And was that
scary.
A factor in your deciding to leave?
Yeah,
Fox?
It was.
All right.
Okay, well, don't let the door hit you on the ass when you leave. I'm going to miss you. I am, whatever your name is. My language is scary. Since when did language become scary?
Glenn, when you use it to help get people assaulted and killed, that's when language becomes scary? You just say it?
Boy, I put a lot of that language in books. Maybe we should gather all those books together and burn them as well. Because there is language in them.
Now, this is, you know, this is a classic moment of Beck. This is a classic Beckism moment. And I apologize for talking about him, but this is a teaching. This is a learning thing for you and for me. Notice how he went from Jane Hall saying his language is scary to I put lots of that language in books, and maybe we should gather all those books together and burn them as well, because there's language in there. Anybody with a passing better understanding of formal Aristotelian logic, is that a syllogism? Is that just tormented phony taken out behind the barn and crowbarred, ball-batted, whatever logic? She said, I use language. I put language in books. Therefore, we should burn my books. And ultimately, the question is, does Glenn Beck understand what a moron he is? Because, you know, I've had the distinct displeasure back a couple of years ago when I was spending some time down south at my father's home to hear him on in the mornings on one of the local AM stations down there. Dad would look at me and say, you know, go get us a biscuit and gravy at Jack's. Dad, you don't need to. Hey, I'm on the way out. I want a biscuit and gravy. So away I'd go, and I'd hear some of this on the radio. I remember one particular passage where he was talking about having great sport over a biologist studying the sex habits of a fly. But God, see, that's the thing. If you want to understand this planet, you have to understand the sex habits of flies. You really do. And that goes all the way back to Aristotle, the first naturalist, so to speak. And so I'm passingly familiar with what the shtick is. And frankly, it's just not that good. So here, you know, Glenn, come on, buddy. Climb down off the cross. We need the wood.
Read our founding fathers. You want scary language? Read the founding fathers. We haven't even gotten a scary language yet.
Really? What's the scary part of the Founding Fathers? Truth be told, the scary part of the Founding Fathers for something like Glenn Beck is the fact that they describe a world that is absolutely the antithesis of everything that this right-wing mongrel yearns for. This godforsaken, recovering drunk that's got millions of dollars a year to spew nothing but bilious hatred all over the public airwaves. What Madison talked about in the Federalist Papers, and don't trust me, that someday hopefully you'll get a chance to ask a real scholar on the issue like Dr. Bill O'Brien. Ask him if in his opinion, Glenn Beck has anything remotely resembling an understanding of what the Founding Fathers were trying to create in this government. Because Glenn Beck thinks that they were just guys in velvet knee breeches who were precursors to that chain-smoking old fiend Ayn Rand. They weren't. They weren't even remotely that. So, you know, take it with a grain of salt, but let's finish up Freak Boy here.
But remember, it's me. I'm the dangerous one. You're the dangerous one. for speaking the truth, pointing out facts, and asking simple questions. That has to be called out.
Once again, he sets up a straw man and can't, because he can't live with the consequences of what it really is that is troublesome about him. And that is the fact that he is no different than the people who got behind microphones in Rwanda in the last decade and helped get hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people, murdered. There is a line that extends from Glenn Beck and Flush Flembaugh and O'Reilly and Savage and Hannity backwards through the Rwandan broadcasters to Father Coughlin to Tokyo Rose herself. And they are all of the same, all of the same cut of cloth. They are all peas in a pod, as it were.
But the fact that there are communist, Maoist, socialist, Marxist, anti-free market people in and around the United States...
Okay, so Maoists, communists, socialists, anti-free market people. Huh? Where in the Constitution that you just referred to, Glenn, where in those founding fathers' scary, you allege, words, is there anything about there being anything wrong with those people? Glenn Beck and his ilk can't live in a world where they have to debate people with differing viewpoints simply because they know they cannot win. All they have is vitriol and invective. And as a consequence, they can't participate in the give and take of debate. That's why when he gets someone on the air with him who disagrees with him, he shrieks like a madman, get off my radio, get off my air. And screams at that sort of that sort of terrified pitch that approaches the level that only dogs can hear. Then again, if you listen to Glenn Beck and you agree with him, chances are you have the brain power, the cognitive power of something considerably less than a member of the canine species. So, you know, there's that.
It's government who are redesigning our government isn't a concern to anybody, really? All I'm asking is for somebody, anybody in the White House, the media, to respond to the facts. The proof that we've shown you over and over and over again.
And which has been shown over and over and over again to be fraudulent so-called proof. All he's asking for is for him and his to be given their way and everybody else who disagrees with him to get the hell out of his way. And that's what it boils down to. So we're a little bit past the hour of 7 p.m. here on the East Coast, and we will take our top of the hour break. You are welcome to chime in as you wish. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. This is the horn.
You might wish to stay on and listen.
It was a place where everything was legal. I met this woman.
So if you're looking for emotional satisfaction, my advice to you is seek professional help.
Thank you for joining us live on the air.
My pleasure.
One nation under God has turned into one nation under the influence of one drug. Television, the drug of a nation. Raining ignorance and feeding radiation on television. The drug of the nation. Raining ignorance and feeding radiation. TV. Its satellite link. A United States of unconsciousness. Apathetic, therapeutic, and extremely addictive. The methadone metronome. Pumping out 150 channels 24 hours a day. You can flip through all of them. And still, there's nothing worth watching. TV is a reason why
Now less than 10% of our nation reads books daily. Why most people think Central America means Kansas. Socialism means un-American, and apartheid is the new headache remedy. Absorbed in this world, it's so hard to find us. It shapes our minds the most. Maybe the mother of our nation should remind us that we're sitting too close to the television. The drug of the nation, breeding ignorance and feeding radiation on television. The drug of the nation, breeding ignorance and feeding radiation. TV is a stomping ground for political candidates, where bears in the woods are chased by Grecian foremen and bald eagles. TV is mechanized politics, remote control over the masses, co-sponsored by environmentally safe gases. Watch for the PBS special. It's a perpetuation of the two-party system, where image takes precedence over wisdom, where soundbite politics are served to the fast food culture, where straight teeth in your mouth are more important than the words that come out of it. Race baiting is the way to get selected. Willie Horton or will he not get elected on television? The drug of a nation, breeding ignorance and feeding radiation on television. The drug of a nation, breeding ignorance and feeding radiation.
On the screen is an address where you can mail your tithe offering or give the blood.
Okay, got the idea? All right, now it's time to start.
Is it the reflector or the director? Does it imitate us or do we imitate it? Because a child watches 1,500 murders before he's 12 years old. And then we wonder why we created a Jason generation that learns to laugh rather than abhor the horror. TV is a place where armchair generals and quarterbacks can experience firsthand the excitement of video warfare as a theme song is sung in the background. Sugar sweet sitcoms that leave us with a bad actor taste, while pop stars metamorphosize into soda pop stars. You saw the video, you heard the soundtrack. Well, now go buy the soft drink. Well, the only cola that I support would be a union COLA cost of living allowance on television. The drug of the nation, breeding ignorance and feeding radiation on television. The drug of the nation, breeding ignorance and feeding radiation. New and improved, we return to our irregularly programmed schedule, hidden cleverly between heavy-breasted beer and car commercials. CNN, ESPN, ABC, BCB, TNT, but mostly BS, where oxymoronic language like virtually spotless, fresh, frozen, light, yet filling, and military intelligence have become standard. TV is a place where phrases are redefined, like recession to necessary downturn, crude oil on a beach to moose, civilian death to collateral damages, and being killed by your own army is now called friendly fire. TV is a place where the pursuit of happiness has become the pursuit of trivia, where toothpaste and cars have become sex objects, where imagination is sucked out of children by a cathode ray nipple. TV is the only wet nurse that would create a cripple. Television, the drug of the nation, breeding ignorance, feeding radiation on television. The drug of the nation, breeding ignorance and feeding radiation on television. The drug of the nation, breeding ignorance and feeding radiation on television. The drug of the nation, breeding ignorance and feeding radiation.
Choice. Better living through television. People is America's choice. Thinking ahead means preparing for the future. The future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95.
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
Indeed, indeed, we're a little over an hour into Moran Monday. More Morans, it's all Morans all the time on Moran Monday on Horn Radio. Ugh, so glad I don't have to do that stuff. So much more satisfying, so much more enjoyable, simply to be able to be candid and straightforward and, yeah, fun around a little bit, as opposed to what the millionaires are making on the right-wing side, he said, trying really hard not to sound jealous of the millions, which I'm really not. It'd be nice to make a living at this. But the fact of the matter is, there is a certain freedom as well in the way things are. And a reminder that we are trying to get, we're trying to get up to about $150 or so more, so as to match Maura's pledge of $250, if others will match it to that tune by Friday. It would be nice, and since there's no show on Thursday and no show on Friday, and I would rather not be pitching on the air from D.C., it would be nice if we could get it out taken care of on Monday and Tuesday. Just saying, okay? Just saying. So let's go to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Brother Bob.
Brother Luke, how are you?
Well, let me get this out of the way so everybody can go ahead and scream at their computers for a minute.
That's your always good.
The Bear did really good with that game, the way they welcomed the Connecticut people.
You know what? I was proud of them, because we can be a pretty tough crowd, but we were pretty classy.
That was class. Want to say that? And can y'all send us a kicker, please?
Oh, Jesus, he kicks like an eighth grader. My God,
well,
he does.
Apparently, he had a quad pull too. So that's the fun part. It's like, guys, don't we have a backup? Somebody? stick with a lineman in there. They can do it.
Fake it.
I know. I still didn't understand why they stopped there like about 50 seconds ago, why they didn't at least try one Hail Mary to the corner, you know, at least try to get, you know, do the fadeaway where, you know, only your
Because either Bear Bryant, Woody Hayes, or Bo Schembechler, depending on which kind of fan you're talking to, once said, when you throw the football, only three things can happen, and two of them are bad. So that's my guess. But no, It was sad. I was sitting there, had my fingers crossed. You know, I was just, oh, God, I wanted Tennessee to win that so bad.
You know what the other fun part of that one?
And I went to Alabama, okay?
Well, you know what the other thing of it is? If you aren't hearing anybody mention, you know, they're still talking about good old, the Alabama running back, Ingram.
Mark Ingram, yeah.
He is now in the Heisman. You know how Hardesty, he had 99 yards. Hardesty had 48 yards running and 66 yards catching.
I know. I know. but then again, you know, Tim Tebow has junior college numbers, and he's still in the running.
I know.
Because he's Jesus H. Tebow.
I know. Well, let's get into politics because we could do this.
Yep. On with the hip waders and into the swamp we go.
I know. Well, have you noticed the CNN? I meant to talk on this last week. CNN's doing all this whole pushing on, you know, Latinos. You know, here we are, you know, Latino in America. And it's like, isn't it amazing how they put it right behind a full hour of Lou Dobbs and let me put on my white hood for an hour?
Well, and isn't it also funny that they interviewed someone for it who brought up Lou Dobbs, and they conveniently left that on the cutting room floor?
I know. Isn't that amazing? Well, they had one of the was this group bust Lou Dobbs. This one's trying to get him removed, but they put some kind of commercial, and of course CNN will not run that one.
No, it's equally adorable. This little bit of infighting that's going on. Have you heard now that Jerry Mustache has said that he had a personal conversation with Rupert Murdoch and was assured that evil, nasty, bigot, race baiter, Latino hater Lou Dobbs is not coming to Fox?
I know. It's,
and by Jerry Mustache we mean Geraldo Rivera, who was Jerry Rivera until he hit the big time. Just saying.
Hey, you gotta take your money where you can. It's like the thing with the New York 23 match up there, you know, with the Republican versus the conservative.
Yeah.
People are like, let's all just pop some popcorn, sit back and watch it and have a good time. You know? But, I saw it today where Politico was just up in arms over the fact that Mr. Obama actually plays golf. And I'm sitting there going, they were sitting there talking about how much he's played golf, you know, in his 11 years, played 24 whole rounds. And I'm sitting there going, let's see now. The last president we had.
Watch this drive.
but he spent, theoretically, if you put the numbers together, he spent one-third of his 8 years gone on vacation.
He did. There's no getting around the fact that he did.
I mean, you know, that brush had to be cleared down there down there in Crawford. Kept on coming back. He just couldn't kill it off. And you know how it is. And we saw, you know, like I said, when we heard about the CIA briefing, how well he took care of everything. Now, son, you covered your ass. Now, get out of here. You know?
Yeah, no kidding.
He was on top of things when he was on vacation. Like I say, Obama's been in there now 10 months. I don't think he's been really on what you'd call a vacation. I mean, maybe a day or two here, but that's about it. You know, I mean, we haven't seen him go up to Camp David for a month and hide out like W did.
All true.
But, you know, that just burns me that Politico's just absolutely just up in arms over the fact that he's actually played some golf.
Well,
I'm glad he does something to relax. You know what I mean? It's like I said, I'm just glad he didn't get like Bush. Hadn't got like Bush. You know, I still think Bush was like Nixon. I think he was talking to the boardrooms. You know, they're all after me. Yeah.
A little Darvon, and the next thing you know, Millard Fillmore is talking back.
This is true.
Millard, they don't understand me.
But you know what I mean? It's just amazing to see how they play this. They see, you know, CNN. CNN tries to repair damage to Latinos, but Lou Dobbs remains an open bleeding sore. That's the headline in over at Crooks and Liars. They're running one of their things, and that's the absolute truth right there. It's like, yes, we're trying to make friends with Latinos. Don't look at the man over there screaming and hollering, you know, getting up on his desk and crying about things. Because like you say, sooner or later he's going to be there with Mr. Beck and talk about Mr. Beck. Well, why don't we run some of those things where Mr. Beck's talking about dreaming of killing people? You know, I'm dreaming about killing
Michael Moore.
I'm going to strangle Michael Moore. Or I don't know if that was him or Savage, but you know what I mean. It's the same difference in that respect.
No, that was Glenn Beck fantasizing about killing Michael Moore with his bare hands. That was very much Glenn Beck.
And he's the one that fantasized about poisoning Nancy Pelosi.
Right. But again, he stole that shtick from the guy with the black dress and the big Adam's apple and the long ratty blonde hair.
Want to kill Justice Stevens.
Right. Creme brulee.
As the
current insurance, one of the few commercials that I do find humorous these days, the insurance commercial with the nabob out in the parking lot tailgating, who orders the steak tartare as well, but says, hold the tartare sauce.
And then looks down at the
menu and says, ooh, creamy brulee.
I feel like the streaker one myself better, but that's just me, you know. But, you know, you were talking, though, about that thing with DirecTV, and you're sitting there going, and this one here you're talking about, you know, at least they rotate. They ran that thing on Saturday. They ran that one with David Spade 3 times in a row.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's like, guys, you've got more than this. I know that. You have to, you know, put something in or at least change it every once in a while. I got to the third time it came up, I just hit the button. It's like, I don't even want to listen to this again. Like you say, it's ripping off the dead.
And that's the one thing that occurred to me is maybe there's no way they can use that likeness
without paying his family.
Right, and maybe that's why they did it.
But you know what I mean? It's like, guys, there had to be some better movies you could pick from.
What movie is that from?
That is from, I can't remember, they did 2 or 3 that were virtually the same. That's the one about where he's like the congressman's brother, I think.
Okay, because there was another one where he was a manufacturer's son.
Where his dad was like Brian Dennehy, who passes away, and he's trying to keep the company or something.
Right.
But like I say, if you look at him, some of the scenes in it are almost interchangeable. But that's just where life goes. No, I saw something today on Bart Kopp, and I forgot about this. You did see that Miss Tate got slapped with that $20,000 fine by by that Georgia judge, and she says she ain't going to pay it.
Don't come back to Georgia, sweetie.
I was going to say, we put you on the chain gang, and we really mean it.
Oh, and this, your timing is perfect, Luke. This just in from Lou Dobbs. He's gone from calling John Stossel myopic and stupid or whatever. In another day or so, he'll call somebody at Fox a poopy head. But now he's responding to Jerry Rivera.
You know, I'm sitting here, I'm just still fuming over something that Geraldo Rivera said. I shouldn't let this guy is nothing but a, you know, he's a fiction of his own imagination, and a figment of whatever he sees in the mirror.
Now, I just want to remind people, Luke, this is not from his TV show.
This is the radio
show. Listen to this. I mean, I know I stumble over words, and I know that I have pauses you could drive an entire Burt Reynolds, Jerry Reed convoy of semis through. I understand that. But this, that he's a fiction? Okay, I said crowball a little bit ago. But a fiction of his own imagination?
But I got to tell you, the guy is so annoying. I should not let people get to me like this, but you know what? I'm starting to get, well, short of patience with him. This guy,
he's getting short of patience with them, Luke.
Is that for a fatwa?
That might work. I want the Lou Dobbs, Geraldo Rivera steel cage death match inside Al Capone's vault.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah. See, we're not even doing high quality multi-million dollar radio, and we can come up with that. And you know, as long as it's in, don't you just know that Geraldo Rivera would go right for it?
Oh, he will.
Bill, I'll punch his face in.
You know, at least every once in a while, I'll give Geraldo credit. At least, you know, he isn't all the way out on the thin part of the safety line yet. You know, he at least occasionally has moments of lucidity.
Oh, but this isn't done yet. This is precious. Let us continue because okay. you will be in full on East Tennessee giggle by the time this is over, Luke.
Accusing me of being scapegoating young Latinos. First of all, Geraldo Rivera wouldn't know a fact if it hit him in the rear end. And by the way, that would be an appropriate place, probably for the, well, if you wanted him to absorb the information, then probably be the appropriate place. But I have to say, listen, I might as well, instead of sitting here sputtering and fuming, listen to what this Mr. Rivera said.
One of the aspects of our reality in the United States now is the defamatory tone of the immigration debate and how that immigration debate has slandered an entire race of people. It has been reckless beyond imagining. It has been reckless in a way that is beyond precedent. Lou Dobbs is almost single-handedly responsible for creating, for being the architect of the young Latino as scapegoat for everything that ails this country.
Now, first of all, that was a statement in front of El Diario here in New York, a Spanish-language newspaper. First, I want to say to whoever was in the audience, I'm just stunned by the quiet response. There was no cheering. It must have been terribly disappointing to Geraldo Rivera to suddenly realize he's speaking to an audience whose IQ and understanding of the issues go beyond his own. He really thought he had them there and obviously did not. But nonetheless, this is the kind of vile stupidity and ignorance that he spews everywhere he goes.
Vile stupidity and ignorance. This is professional. Do you hear that? That's professional radio.
Well, you know, and the thing of it is, this is the same Lou Dobbs who amazingly enough, anytime you want to bring up those, I don't want to say knuckle draggers, but the ones who killed the family to finance their little anti-immigration activities down on the border, amazingly enough, Mr. Dobbs doesn't understand that. No, we can't talk about that. No. That changed stuff.
No, well, that just...
These people who he loves, you know, and are good Americans. Please, dear Lord, let those good Americans leave.
Well, apparently, a lot of those good Americans have joined the military. There's another story picked it up over at Alternet.
Yeah, about the extreme, the
right wing
extreme groups.
Yeah.
Well, you know, they did that 2-3 years ago. You remember when they lost, when they got so low on recruits? You know, they essentially said, "You got a Grandma Reagan? We don't care. You're a skinhead? We don't care."
Convicted of rape? Come on in.
We put a helmet on that head. Don't you worry.
You know, and that's not making stuff up. That's not exaggerating. That's true.
Well, it's like if you go read some of the stuff over at Mikey Weinstein's thing, they're coming after him again. Not them particularly, but you know, I mean, some of the other groups are getting on him over at the
Military Religious Freedom Foundation.
Yeah.
Yeah, militaryreligiousfreedom.org.
MRFF. Yeah, I saw over there, I read over there last week that they were, you know, it's one of those things where he's being, he wasn't being sued, but somebody was trying, I think, to block him from even talking to people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just one of those things. It's just like, you know, it's like these people are out there and, you know, say, it's like all the people are faux noise. You know, you're kind of just sitting there going, you know, what color is the sun in your world? I'm just curious. You know, what color is the sky? Because it can't be blue, because I know that's ours.
That would, yeah, that would be Earth, and you ain't on it. Exactly.
Well, you know, you saw the thing where, who was it? Oh, well, we see, you know, isn't it amazing how nobody wants to call, nobody in the quote-unquote mainstream media wants to talk about the fact that, you know, the baby Jesus apparently on his new anti-homophobic or his homophobic rant. You know, apparently he's on this Ken Jennings thing. He's pulling anything out of the air he can. You know, oh yeah, he's a member of NAMBLA. He's you know, and it's like I'm still just waiting. You know, somebody said you do realize all these things you're making up a whole lot of facts as you go along.
Oh, look, the life support system for a haircut, the Hannity job. Is just, he's out of hand, frankly.
This one apparently, is his Achilles heel, because he's just going at this thing tooth and nail, you know, sickle and tong, however you want to say it. You know, I mean, it's like, he ain't going to give it up. You know?
No, he thinks he can bully the gay guy, and the gay guy will run away, but Mr. Jennings is made of pretty stern stuff. You know, he's like me. He's a recovering Southern Baptist. And we know what this conduct is and not going to run away from it, not prone to it at least.
People in the education, they've called him probably every name in the book any which way, so he's over that.
Oh, before he ever got there.
Yeah.
You know, this is he was involved with Gleason, the Gay and Lesbian Student Educational Network. That was his baby. And he's already had enough vile hypocrisy heaped on his head. Anything that Sean Hannity has to add is nothing. But I'll tell you my personal theory, Luke, for why Hannity is doing this has largely to do with the fact that everybody is getting nervous about all the attention that Lonesome Rhodes is getting. I said this the other night, and I tried to sort of really drive the notion home. They all trade in hate. They all trade in bilious, vile vulgarity and more words. That's what they trade in. So they are, but now they're trapped in a feedback loop where they're constantly trying to one up each other.
Well, you know, it's this whole thing. You know, with this whole thing with the conservative party, which may end up taking over or cutting off the parts of the GOP they don't want. You know, it's one of those things that they fed the beast, and now the beast wants to eat some more, and they ain't got no more to feed him.
And so, naturally it turns in on itself, sure.
It's one of these things where you have, it's like, say, Sarah Palin versus Newt Gingrich. Oh, now here's an unarmed combat we could get into, you know.
This could be lots of fun.
Oh, but, you know what I mean? But like I say, it is one of those things where you know, we kind of enjoy part of it, but like I say, you still are hoping neither one wins. Because you're afraid if one of them wins, what's going to be left of them. But, you know, it's like this whole thing with the nation thing. They were starting to talk about this new book they're putting out, you know, Going Rouge. And the funny thing is, when they're talking about her book, it's apparently it's already in the discount bins. It's going for like $5.
Right, because they were all mass purchased, you know, on that thing we've talked about before.
Where they put the little mark thing on.
Yeah, the little dagger there on the New York Times list. All these right-wing books always have that, because that means that they have been mass published and, you know, coming soon to a Dollar General near you.
Newsmax has bought tons and tons of these books to give you when you sign up for us. You know, here's your thing. You get this. And you say, can I sign up without it?
Yeah, save the book.
But you know what I mean? It's one of those things. But like I say, whenever the Nation book comes out, I will go pick one up. Just to support the Nation and tell them they're doing a good work.
Amen. And the Nation is publishing in January. I'm glad you mentioned their publishing arm. They're publishing a magnificent new book by our good friend Jeff Biggers.
Oh, okay.
Called Reckoning on Eagle Creek. That is, from what I've seen and what I've heard, is going to be the single most powerful thing that he has ever ever compiled, ever written.
Well, Bud, I've looked at the clock, and I've been on too damn long. Let me get out of here and let's talk to some other people.
All right, Luke, you take care.
You say you're not on Thursday or Friday this week?
No, I'm not on Wednesday, not on Thursday, but we're on all day. I mean, not on Wednesday, not on Friday, but we're on all day Thursday.
Oh, okay. All right, buddy, take it easy.
All right, we'll see you, Luke.
See you.
Bye now.
Bye.
Yeah, Thursday will be one of those special live broadcasts that we do from these events, and you'll get to, it'll be like being there. And one of these days I'm going to have time to test out the whole video idea and maybe try to send you some video too. And wouldn't that be cool? Because, you know, this, looking at me, nah, not so much, but something like this in a room like this and the speakers and everything, that would be pretty cool, although I'm certainly no cameraman. By the way, I am reminded by our buddy David in Tennessee that Geraldo Rivera started at birth as Jerry Berg. He converted to Latino in his teens. I somehow don't think that's a joke. And this from our buddy Reverbo.
talking from the past hour. He said, you know, you've hit on it, and Beck and the rest of the morons never get it. The power and beauty of America is that by restricting and establishing nothing more or less, we tolerate everything. What a country. However, says Reverbo, I do wish someone would hit Glenn over the head with a crowball. You don't let me get away with nothing. I'm sitting there thinking, crowbar, ball bat, and cue ball, and cue stick. Those are all the things that are working in my head at the same time. And what's left of my poor little mind comes out with crowball, and you guys are right there on me like a duck on a June bug. I think the crow would object, but, you know, who the hell am I? So just to wrap up, having listened to the best part of Lou Dobbs referring to the vile stupidity and ignorance of the man he considers annoying, Geraldo Rivera. And this, the business with Geraldo does dovetail because, you know, when it became chic for him to be Latino, he went from Jerry to Geraldo. It's a known fact. I mean, the tapes are out there. This is not a good, but there is a story out there today that I don't know if you've seen or not. I obviously have, about this flap in New Mexico with the weirdo. And again, this is another one of our nominees for Moran Monday. This weirdo businessman who bought a hotel in New Mexico and told his telephone operators and front desk staff that if they had Hispanic names, that they needed to change those to more Merkin kind of names. We want some big AAA, so as we all can understand. No, really, it happened. Taos, New Mexico. This is all about a guy named Whitten. And he really did say that he was changing their Spanish first names. And then when they objected, this is New Mexico, New Mexico. Spanish spoken there longer than English has been. Just, you know, saying. This guy's really winning them over in Taos. You know the first place I ever heard of Taos? Taos, New Mexico. Dennis Weaver. Yeah. Dennis Weaver as McLeod. McLeod! He was the Western cop who was sent to the big city. And he did things his way. And he was from Taos, New Mexico. That's how he said it. Taos, New Mexico. The things that stay in one's brain. Because I couldn't have been that. Yeah, no. That ran in rotation with Columbo and McMillan and Wife. Yeah. Rock Hudson and Susan St. James. And it, oh, dear God. Why is that in my brain? Time to rerun... The disposable heroes of hypocrisy again. See what TV does to your head. But anyway, let's check in on a weirdo bigot hotel owner real quick, just for the fun of it. The name of the hotel, by the way, is the Paragon Inn. And it was the site of protest after lots of protests because, you know, the folks who happen to live there.
The owner of the Whitten Inn right behind me, he fired all his Hispanic employees just for being Hispanic, not wanting to change their names. You know, instead of, I'm going to use an example, if you're Martinez, he wanted it like Martinez. You know, so in other words, getting rid of your Spanish name and using an Anglo name.
Without warning, he fired us, you know, and there was a bunch of employees that he fired, and he brought his own employees from Texas, you know, and I've worked this job with many owners for 5 years, and never has this happened to me, sir.
I was asked to change my name to Mark or Bill, and I wasn't comfortable with that, so I just stayed with Marcos, and they said that I was rude and that I was... unlawful, so they fired me. Like, they never called me back to go back into work. And I thought that was unfair to me because I was just there to do my job.
What was one of your first actions?
Here's our buddy Larry Whitten.
Well, my first action was to hold a meeting with all of the employees as standard operating procedure to introduce myself, explain my company, what we do, how we do, what we're going to do for renovations, pretty much that.
Mm-hmm.
In the meeting, because I'm in a new area, a new territory, I'm not of Spanish descent, and I do not speak Spanish.
Dumbass, most of the people there aren't very much of Spanish descent either. They're people who have been on this little chunk of the planet for, oh, depending on which archaeologist you're talking to, anywhere from around 12 to 28 to perhaps 50,000 years. But yeah, so they're not very Spanish either. That just happens to be the language they speak, or the heritage from which they arise, because those were the first white Europeans who landed in their neck of the woods and screwed up their world. But, you know, like, I got to explain that to you.
I requested that when people, my employees, were in my presence, that they speak English. If a guest comes in that speaks Spanish, by all means, they are to accommodate the guest. If they're in housekeeping or maintenance, they can speak German, French, anything they want to. But in my presence, since I do not understand the language, I prefer English.
Mm-hmm. I'm here to support not only my son.
I love that. Since I do not speak Spanish, I prefer English. You just know that this freak is one of those English firster types. And I realize the guy's getting older and everything, but you know what? The human brain has a... I'm getting older, too. But the human mind has a remarkable facility for learning language. Because there is a great deal of the human mind that isn't in that lizard brain part, I don't think. You know, that Gronk want food, Gronk want eat, Gronk want sleep, Gronk want not to lay in the rain, Gronk want shelter, Gronk want sex... That part of it ain't there. It's in that upper developed Homo sapiens sapiens kind of chunk of the brain where we process language and think wild conceptual thoughts that aren't based on concrete items before our very eyes. You know, those ethereal concepts like freedom and justice and liberty and what is truth and what is beauty and love thy neighbor, you know, things that get you killed. Socrates, Jesus, Gandhi, you know. People call from all over America, don't know the Spanish accents or the Spanish culture or Spanish anything. See, you can tell from the language that they do use. Glenn Beck is, I suppose, to a degree right that it is about language. And when this guy says that they don't speak, when this guy says they don't know the Spanish accents and they don't know the Spanish culture or Spanish anything, you know, it's not like they're, it's not, well, he doesn't know the Spanish culture either. And being a English firster, which he obviously is, it's abundantly clear that he won't even use the word Hispanic. As opposed to Spanish. Because the word Hispanic, of course, refers to the influence of Hispanic, Hispania, the influence of, you could say Iberian culture, except for the fact that there's no real Portuguese influence that area of the world. You know, the Iberian Peninsula being overall, you know, Spain and Portugal. The Basque country, which doesn't want to be either. So on the one hand, this guy coming from Texas, where incidentally, a few months back, if you recall, there was a Texas legislator woman who said to one person, why can't y'all just change, and I think this woman was Vietnamese that she was speaking of, why can't they just change their names to something we can understand? It ain't so hard to pronounce. Well, this guy comes from there. And I would submit to you that there is, in fact, a movement of these goobers. Has nothing to do. Listen, just as Agnes had a conversation not too long back with someone who was objecting to Barack Obama and said, now, it ain't because he's black. It's because, and then goes on, and Agnes said to me, you know, when the first thing out of their mouth is, it's not because he's black, you pretty much know at that point that it's because he's black. And by the same token, this goober says, it has nothing to do with racism. I'm not doing it for any reason other than for the satisfaction of my guests, because people calling from all over America don't know the Spanish accents or the Spanish culture or Spanish anything. Why, heavenly days, here I am living in West Virginia, and I learned that the Spanish word for store in some places is tienda. Am I right? Tienda? T-I-E-N-D-A? Because I know that if I see one of them that says tienda down in Alabama or Tennessee or somewhere, I can walk in and I can get some beans that I can't buy in the grocery store around here, because all they sell is these damn pinto beans. But I can go into a tienda and I can buy me some Maya Cobras. And they's the best beans you ever had. And, you know, if you want people with an appreciation for beans, you come up here into the hill country. You come up here into the hills, and we'll tell you about beans, because, you know what, for nine to 300-400 years, we damn near lived on them. But Mr. Whitten went on to state he's pissed off the local community there in Taos, New Mexico, in the recent past, by noting that the people who live there, the local community, were mountain people. Now, we've had that conversation, haven't we? Cranky mountain people. And they got cranky when he called them mountain people and said, listen, this town ain't made nothing. It's just a bunch of potheads who escaped society, all right? Really? That's what's in Taos, New Mexico? Sign me the hell up! Because you know what? Generally, the potheads who escaped society are generally decent human beings, if they did escape society, it would seem that they're doing quite well in Taos. And they generally, he was saying it about acid and not cannabis, which are totally different animals. What was it that, Timothy Leary said, turn on, tune in, and drop out? Well, the people who did that generally did that because they were looking at the culture around them, you know, Walmart culture, and saying, you know, what the hell is this to spend my 70 in? I want to go somewhere and make it count. I want to go somewhere and be real. And you're hard-pressed to blame them. And in most instances, find yourself agreeing. Have you seen peopleofwalmart.com? Just page after page of off-the-rails horror. And that's just any given day in any given Walmart in anywhere USA, and some other parts of the world, too. Apparently there's some sort of universal connection between, well, and then there's that clipping that travels the Internet, and you see it from time to time. From the woman being interviewed in some little local paper, and she said, well, I like going over to the Palace Mart because it's more informal. It ain't like you got to get all dressed up like you do when you go to Walmart. Whew. So on the one hand, you've got this guy trying to change names from their natural Latino or Hispanic, whatever word you prefer, existence. Marcos must become Mark, and you must work on that accent. Well, speaking of commercials, have you seen that god-awful Dos Equis series that's running now about the most interesting man in the world? You know, if they could have, you just know they would have hired Ricardo Montalban for that. You just know they would have. He once had an awkward moment just to see what it felt like. Sheesh. And, of course, that, too, stuck in my head because I found it so godforsaken loathsome. So here's all this where people are being asked not to use their Latino names. And then, totally tone deaf to the entire world around him, you have the hissy being thrown by Lou Dobbs, about the hissy being thrown about Lou Dobbs by Geraldo Rivera, who apparently entered life as something besides Geraldo Rivera and then embraced his Latino side when that became, fashionable and profitable. That's the thing I hate about it. You know, if you've got a heritage of something, embrace it. Because none of us asked to be born, none of us were ever deliberately, that any of us know of, we don't remember standing there next to, no, because, you know, when the soul takes on the human form, you know, you're just standing out there in the ether, in the universe, communing in amongst the whatever it is that makes up spirit or soul, if you buy into that kind of thing, and you just take the number, and next thing you know, you're a Hindu. Next number, there you are, you're Hispanic. Next number, there you are, pink and Caucasian with the, with your insides backwards and the miraculous ability to manufacture as many triglycerides and cholesterol molecules as seven other people. Take a number. Oh, look, you're an Eskimo. None of us asked. So what you are, embrace. And if you're not that, let people be what they are. Lou Dobbs, Mr. Witten, you're pink people. Revel in your pinkness, but don't, for the love of God, think that there's anything special about being pink, because there's not. You know, sit back and live inside the universe, and life might get a little less hate-filled.
He's in very good company, at least for him. With ethnocentric, left-wing activists, all of the people who want to participate in a big lie and pretend it's true. If there is any defamation, if there is any slander, it's being carried out by Geraldo Rivera, who knows very well that I am absolutely pro-immigrant, that I am not a restrictionist in any way, that for years I have said without equivocation or hesitation that I truly believe the illegal immigrant in this illegal immigration crisis is the most rational actor of all. And for him, for others to ignore that, is to me one of the most despicable, cowardly acts of dishonesty possible. A group has already put out a commercial slandering me without even noting.
You know, whoever's syndicating this idiot, yeah, call me. I'll give you 3 hours of at least engaging radio without, for cheap. You won't have to pay me half of what you're paying this goober. And as is so often the case on the horn, I've never done a show that people didn't respond to positively. Even the wingnuts love to tune in to get their asses beaten from time to time by me back in the bad old terrestrial radio days. But that, can you imagine listening to that in your automobile? The telephone pole. Oh, look, there's an airbag in my face. And it would be a telephone pole of mercy. It would be a mercy polling. Just anything that made the radio, you know. But that's the thing with terrestrial radio these days in this country. You know, push the button. Lou Dobbs pushed the button. Michael Savage pushed the button. Rush Limbaugh pushed the button. Sean Hannity pushed the button. Second-tier talker pushed the button. Third-tier right-wing talker. Fourth-tier right-wing button, 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 button. Who's got the button? But with very few exceptions in very few places in this country do you ever push that godforsaken button in your car and get something approaching sanity, something approaching professionalism, something approaching decent conversation for someone who doesn't happen to be a right-wing freak. And we are a majority, and this is the crap that is still being beamed at us. Now, why is that? Yeah, radio station ownership has a lot to do with it. But our side has a lot to do with it, too. The fact of the matter is, you guys have dug deep and you have given till it hurts, and I know it hurts, to keep this going. because so many on our side who have the, you know, who have pockets that are attached to hollow legs that are so full of money that they can barely move and they jingle when they walk, won't support the building of the infrastructure that can counter all this garbage. And as has been shown, there's money in it. But, you know, being liberals, we don't want to get all the, oh, we don't want to talk about the dirty money. Finsta, how many times have I told you not to play with the dirty money? Oh, I do believe I've forgotten my fudge. No, we don't want to talk about the dirty money. Unless we happen to have some. And then we don't want to talk about the dirty money with anybody else, because they might want some of the dirty money we have. And we don't want to give away. We would rather continue letting the right wing beat our ass on the airwaves and having to fight and struggle to make sane ideas like single-payer health care reach something approaching a rational discourse in this country. We'd rather do that than start 10 years ago building the response machine to the flush phlegm balls of the world and put radio people behind radio microphones and let them do what they do best. You know, it drives me absolutely batshit crazy every time I think of the fact that for as much good as he does and for all the talent that he brings to bear and all the wonderful radio that he does, on a normal week, we can only have 3 days of Guy James. Because Guy is a regular guy. And he's got to be out there, and he's got to find some way to support himself and his beloved wife. And so some days we don't get 3 days, we get two. Some days we don't get two, we get one. Some days we don't get any days. Because Guy has to earn a living. When what Guy ought to be earning an easy living at is the thing that Guy is best at. And that is this. And it makes me absolutely crazy, not with you guys, but with the people who have the wherewithal to make this happen, and by God, don't! They don't. Enough money to burn down a sopping wet elephant, and they won't. So instead, the airwaves are full of this.
That I have said all of these things that are very positive about illegal immigrants, that are very positive about what should be done in this country in terms of immigration, that I support strong immigration into this country, but that I also recognize that we're the most welcoming nation in this country, and I am so, you know, the ethnocentric interest groups in this country, MALDEF, LULAC, La Raza, all of these, and some very small left-wing activist organizations, like America's Voice, a smaller...
Jesus, he almost makes you pray for a commercial, doesn't he? Please, please, run that ad for the vacuum cleaner that picks up bowling balls laying on Swedish mattresses. Please! But then again, maybe so do I. Yeah, that's how the world works. So, you know, don't speak no Spanish if the feller around you don't know no Spanish nor no Spanish culture. That's just how business is in America. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. This is the Horn.
Bill Jackson was a poor old dub who joined the Darktown Poker Club, but cursed the day he told him he would join. His money used to go like it had wings. If he held queens, someone had kings, and each night he would contribute all his coin. Then he said, I'm gonna play him tight tonight. He said, if you don't bobtail flushes, make me bite, cause when I gets in there, my hands won't be a peach. played them tight but lost his pile, and Bill got peevish after a while, so he rose, looked all around, and ate this speech. He said, y'all see this brand new razor I had it sharpened just the day. Now I'm coming in there with my rules that you must follow when you play. Now keep your big bony hands on the table while you're dealing, please. And don't be slipping them aces down there in between your knees. And don't be making all them funny signs like you're trying to tip off your hand just talking American, boy, American, so's I can understand. And don't be dealing off the bottom because, ooh, that's rough. Take five, five, then stop. That's enough. Now, when you bet, put up the chips, because I don't like it when you shy. Then if you get busted, go on out and get something. I'm going to be here by and by. Pass them cards for me to shuffle every time before you deals. Then if anything's wrong, I must see. Because I mean, y'all, this ain't no luck. Keep playing that game according to Mr. Harley. You going to play this game according to me. Sitting right there in that there clan, they chanced to be a one-eyed man, and Bill kept on watching him out of the corner of his eye. Well, the old one-eye would deal, and then would cost that Bill another five or ten. Bill got up again, looked all around him with a sigh. He said, Lord, this is an awful shame. He said, there's someone cheating in this here game. He said, of course, it ain't no duke me to name the guy. So I'll refrain from mentioning the party's name. If I catch him cheating just once again, I'm going to take my fist and close that other eye. Now, do you see this brand new razor I had it sharpened just the day? I'm coming in there with my own rules that you must follow when you play. Egghead, keep your hands up there while you're giving them out, please. Stop putting them wildies down there between your knees. Stop making all them funny signs like you're trying to tip off your hand. Keep talking in American, big A-A-A. That's what I can understand. And don't be getting them off the bottom because I keep trying to tell you it's rough. This is the Army game. Five, five, halt. That's enough. Now, when you bet, let me see the reds and blues, because I don't like it when you shy. Then if you run out of gas, go get pumped up. I'm going to be here by and by. Pass them pasteboards for me to shovel every time before you deal. Let me ripple. Anything wrong, I want to see. Because, I mean, you always ain't going to keep playing the game now, according to that Mr. Harley. You all going to play this game according to me. Henry, if you break the seal on that new deck of bicycles, we'll go on from there. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Brock.
Yeah, y'all just speak that big AA American. That's what I can understand. Don't want none of that Spanish. I don't understand no Spanish or Spanish people or Spanish culture. It was kind of cute, though, because he got called on the carpet, that right-wing bigoted freak did. And got called on the carpet on none other, surprisingly enough, than CNN. Beautiful moment. Beautiful moment. And frankly, it's, this is headline news host Jane Velez Mitchell speaking with Larry Whitten. And, you know, just watching one of these, hearing, see, I'm watching here, but we're not doing video yet. We're going to hear it so as we all can understand. Just hearing one of these right-wing bigots get their comeuppance is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thing.
Now, can I jump in, Larry? I'm here. My name's Jane Velez Mitchell. I hope you don't mind if I keep using the word Velez in my name. You say that you're trying to turn around a dilapidated motel. Did you or did you not tell somebody whose name was Martin to say that his name was Martin? Or similar changes?
Yes, ma'am. I was answering your question of why
just answer that question, though. Did you ask him to change his name and anglicize his name? Did you ask anyone to anglicize their name?
Yes, I asked Martin to change it to Martin.
Why?
You better understand it over the telephone.
You can't understand Martin? Do you know that the vast majority of people who live in this community where you have your hotel are Latino? So your customers are going to be, to a large extent, Latino. Now, how do you treat the customers when they come in? Do you ask them also to change their names? Like if I came in with Jane Velez Mitchell so that you could better understand my name, would you ask me to change it?
No, ma'am.
It's ludicrous, sir.
No,
it's
ma'am.
Ludicrous
and we
what
didn't
you
ask
did,
people
and you should
in
just apologize
don't
and
ask
say that you made a mistake.
To change their names, I only ask people on my switchboard, as I have done for 40 years. And again, I've never intentionally changed anyone's names to insult them, insult their heritage, insult their culture. It's a matter of I wanted Martin to get the recognition, who was a fine young man, I might.
He was a fine young man. Oh, say it, Larry. Say it for one of them Spanish fellers. Say it.
Dad. We look forward.
Oh, darn. Missed one. I wanted him to get the recognition. What recognition? But see, that's the way a bigot always gets out of what a bigot does. Well, I wasn't trying to insult anybody. That's arguing. That's known as arguing intent. When, if you should ever have a cup of coffee in law school, you will find out on the first day of torts class, and it will be seared into your brain that all liability is based on fault. And there's this whole discussion, and it goes way back to a pair of the king's swordsmen in Merry Old England who were practicing their king's swordsman skills one day, and the sword slipped, and, you know, one of the swordsmen hacked his buddy his arm off or something. Cut him most grievous bad, you know, whatever. With ease on the ends of all the words. And the court, and it came up to the king, and the king said, oh, no. No, no. Because the guy who did the cutting said, but your grace, I didn't intend to cut him. I was just practicing me king swordsman skills, and the next thing you know, my sword slipped, and I cut him most grievous bad, you goodness and grace. I did, but I didn't mean to. And the king, or the king's designee, said, oh, that's very well. We understand you did not intend to do that. But your liability is based on fault. This is your fault, is it? Well, yes, it is, but I didn't mean to. I understand, Medrick, but it's not because you meant to. That wouldn't make his injury any worse. He's injured, and it's your fault, and it's coming out of your weekly mead allotment. For the love of Christ, no more sword practicing while wasted on the mead for you, Murdrick. Oh, very well, he says, and, you know, tugs his little forelock and goes away, and, you know, the guy with no arm and the Monty Python blood going, I could have took him with one arm, I could have. That's what that is. I didn't mean to insult anybody. Jesus. You know, there's an old saying from Robert A. Heinlein out there, and I know there's a lot of old Robert A. Heinlein fans in the crowd, where he says, an insult is like a drink. It affects one only if taken. But the obverse of that is the insult does not have to be intended. You know, that's the old repig-licking non-apology apology. You know, the one like where, to bring this whole thing full circle, like where, for instance, the Repig-Lickin' National Committee has for 2 or 3 days on its web page a photograph of the President of the United States gnawing on a chicken bone, and underneath it, miscegenation is a crime against family values, repeal Loving versus Virginia. It gets pulled. And people call for the RNC to apologize. But the RNC, being the Repig-Lickin' National Committee, doesn't apologize. And if there is finally enough pressure brought to bear on them that they do, the way they will apologize is they will say, we're sorry if anyone was offended. And that is about 952 million light years past we're sorry for what we did. Because it ain't the same thing. you know, and conceptually speaking, you know, that portion of the brain that does language and thinks in things that are concrete and or non-concrete and conceptual, there's a big difference. If I apologize for the fact that you're offended by something I said, then I haven't apologized. I have suggested instead exactly the reverse, that you are some sort of hypersensitive loony who didn't have the common good sense to understand that I wouldn't say something like that if I was meaning to hurt somebody. Because what Larry Whitten here is saying is, by God, I know how to be a bigot, and I know how to be a racist, and if I want to, you won't be guessing at it, because I will call you a beep, 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 and you'll, by God, know. Because I've heard bigots say that. And that's how they operate. Just say it. Open lines if you want to get in on the last 40 minutes or so of the show this evening, of the conversation. You're more than welcome to. You know the number, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. If you want to dial directly, that's cool too, 304-658-3333, and you'll save us a nickel or a buck by doing that. They both ring in the same way. You know how to reach us at email. Read them all the time, Bob Kincaid, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D, @gmail.com. Or you could jump in the chat room. I try to keep an eye on that as often as possible. That's a lot of fun, too. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com/chatroom. And, nope, nobody there. So, all the lines are open now. You guys are quiet. What are you all, hungover this weekend? So, you know, just whatever you've got on your mind is fine. And there's a little bit more wing nuttery out there. Like I said, and I got proof, the wing nuts are beginning to worry like hell over just exactly how popular, you know, with that 90 and above demographic that is his home base, Glenn Beck is becoming. In fact, proof of it. And this is beautiful. You remember back when Flush Flimball gave that interview to the New York Times Weekend Magazine or whatever it was? And they asked him about the guys that were nearest to him. And he said, among other things, he said Sean Hannity had done a great job and he was happy for him. And then he said, they asked him about Michael Savage, and he said, "Well, he's not even in my rearview mirror." And then they asked him about Bill O'Reilly, and Limbaugh said, "Listen, somebody's got to say it. The guy's a clown." This is before Glenn Beck. Well, that guy who's not even in Flush Flimball's rearview mirror apparently just got passed by Glenn Beck. The Savage Wiener is not happy at all. And it's delightful. It was mentioned earlier in the program that these people are, you know, once, what did Luke say? The beast has been fed, but now the beast wants more. So they're going to have to start feeding on themselves. It's beautiful. That's what's happening in right-wing professional radio. They've turned on themselves. And the Savage Wiener ain't happy.
The shill, what's his name? I forget his name in the middle of the day. Has long been an Obama supporter. The pretty boy in the middle of the day. I don't remember his name. Shlept Smith. Came out for government-controlled health care. I mean, he's over on their side. He could make the jump to MSNBC. It wouldn't matter. So already they're moving there. Then you got that other, you know, sad sack kind of Lou Costello-like guy, Neil Cavuto. Kind of a nice guy, but like a Lou Costello. Basically does whatever he's told. Nice enough guy. The real hardcore, you got three of them maybe, are going to change rapidly.
Ooh! And I was afraid I sounded jealous sometimes. Ooh! He's bad jealous. The Savage Wiener has never gotten over the fact that he got his ass bounced off the TV box for getting real nasty with a gay guy who called in and you know, gave him hell on a side of fries. And it got him right off of, what was it, MSNBC? Back when MSNBC was still was trying to be a right-wing network, you know, when they were getting rid of Donahue and folks like that. And the pretty boy, you know what he means by that. He is asserting that Shepard Smith is gay. But he's kind of learned his lesson about some of that stuff because he's desperately trying to weasel his way on the Fox because he can't figure out why Fox. I mean, you know, he's been doing loony before loony was cool. And there's this Beck kid. But wait.
That's why you got O'Reilly talking about Carrie Prejean's breasts the other night, calling it an important story, even sarcastically. I mean, only filled up minutes of airtime with it. And very soon you're going to see the very, 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 very creative, genius, highly educated Glenn Beck start to change his tune. You mark my words, within 90 days, he has got a bit in his mouth and he's moving on to something else. I mark my words. Or he's off the network altogether. That's my prediction. I'm nothing against him. Nothing at all.
I've nothing against him. Nothing at all. Except the fact that I've been laboring out here, having to live in San Francisco with all these people. You know what's in San Francisco, what I have to put up with. My God, I worry every time I sit down to dinner. Me and my little dog. I got nothing against Glenn Beck whatsoever. This is an exercise in damning with faint praise. Enjoy it.
Impressed with him. I mean, I've seen the act before. I'm not for him or against him. He does a reasonably good job of copying people who are brighter than him, who've done the work before him, and taking ideas from his...
Which would, of course, be me. Michael Savage. I've done this for so many years, and Rupert Murdoch, and that Roger Ailes fellow that looks like the Darth Vader with the mask off. He bypasses me to go and get this recovering alcoholic and bring him on the air. No respect, I tell you.
As many people as he can without giving anyone credit. I get that. There's nothing to...
Oh! He just accused Glenn Beck of stealing his material. Oh, this is precious.
Start to change his tune. You mark my words. Within 90 days, he has got a bit in his mouth, and he's moving on to something else. I mark my words. Or he's off the network altogether. That's my prediction. I'm nothing against him. Nothing at all. I'm not impressed with him. I mean, I've seen the act before. I'm not for him or against him. He does a reasonably good job of copying people who are brighter than him, who've done the work before him, and taking ideas from as many people as he can without giving anyone credit. I get that. There's nothing new about that either. But my prediction is he's going to have a bit put in his mouth very, very fast, and or he's going to be fired. No matter how big a ratings guy he is, that's what I think is going to happen. It is just simply one man's opinion. Now, so I'm in the media, and I'm not a news person. I never pretended to be. I'm a commentator. That's what I'm paid to do. I'm paid to analyze the news, give you one man's opinion. Okay? And then...
Oh, this is precious. I'm sorry. This may be like the night that the DJ back in my hometown got drunk and played Stairway to Heaven over and over and over again. This just bleeding jealousy is too beautiful to pass up. And by the way, once upon a time, there were these two potatoes. There was Irish potato and Idaho potato, and they had this beautiful daughter, Sweet Potato. And they nurtured her, and they took care of her, and they loved her dearly. And she got to that age when a sweet potato wants to go out and start seeing the world, and she did. And lo and behold, a little bit of time passed by, and she came home. Oh, the grief. She came home. Do you hear the Garrison Keillor voice begin? She came home, and with her was Michael Savage. And she said, "Mom, Dad, I'm in love with Michael Savage, and I want to marry him." And of course, Idaho Potato and Irish Potato were just disgusted.
They were heartbroken, those years that they'd spent trying to raise sweet potato up to be a good sweet potato. And to bring home this Michael Savage. And finally, he could take it no more. And they both looked at sweet potato, and they looked at Michael Savage. And they said, honey, we tried to raise you right. We did everything we could to give you a good life, to give you a good upbringing, to give you a good moral foundation, great values. Oh, honey, how did we go wrong? How could you do this to us? You can't marry him. He's just a commentator. I'll be here all week. Try the veal. Don't forget to tip your waiter.
Soon you're going to see the very, 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 very creative, genius, highly educated Glenn Beck start to change his tune. You mark my words, within 90 days, he has got a bit in his mouth and he's moving on to something else. I mark my words. Or he's off the network altogether. That's my prediction. I have nothing against him. Nothing at all. I'm not impressed with him. I mean, I've seen the act before. I'm not for him or against him. He does a reasonably good job of copying people who are brighter than him who've done the work before him. And taking ideas from as many people as he can without giving anyone credit. I get that.
But I don't get the check. I don't get a check for him. Everything he's ever done, I did before. And he doesn't give me credit. No credit, no respect, no check, no nothing. Nothing from him, I'm telling you. Nothing. And I'm sitting here eating my liver in San Francisco. Somebody, Tony Bennett once said he left his heart in San Francisco. I'm eating my liver in San Francisco, do you hear me? This Glenn Beck. This highly creative Glenn Beck. I've seen the act before. He does a reasonably good job copying people who are brighter than him, me, who have done their work before him, me, and taken as many ideas from as many people, mostly me, as he can without giving anyone credit. Oh, it's fun watching them feast on themselves. It's a beautiful thing. And of course, Mark Levin, a guy whom our buddy David in Tennessee long ago noted has a voice made for print, has taken to referring to Beck as mindless, incoherent, and pathetic. But I'm not going to play any Mark Levin because your ears are probably bleeding already. And if you're wondering why I'm not hitting the hot news stories of the day, just a reminder. This, hurry, is Moran Monday. This is a walk through that striped tent on the Midway. And in the bell jars and floating in formaldehyde and lying on straw behind plate glass and iron bars are the freaks of the weirdo fringe of the right wing. And we're just all walking past them together. Our mouths agape, watching them as they fulminate and fume and spit and drool. Don't get too close. Some of them are like cobras. They spit, and the spit is deadly. Yes, indeed. So that's why, that's why we're not using a lot of the hot new stories from around the globe this evening, such as are featured over at CNN.com or FoxNews.com, because sometimes the morons are the news, especially when what's being called the news features tweens battling adult disease. Judge not guilty of inmate sexual abuse.
Mrs. Edwards Talks Love Story. No. Don't have it in me tonight. I mentioned earlier in the program that me watching television involves a lot of clicking past commercials and promos and so forth. And as you heard Juanita at the beginning of the show say, you know, she woke up, she thought it was 7, but it was actually 2, so C-SPAN. I've had that happen too. You know, I go to sleep, and most of the time it's like watching movies in my sleep. I just watch mind movies while I'm asleep, because that's what my dreams are like. You know, they have structure and plot and all kinds of, you know, beautiful, rich technicolor, you know, whatever. But sometimes you do wake up, and that happens. And I was, you know, click, click, click. And again, just because you see the wheels wobbling and it's all, you know, it's all just about to come apart, there was this trundling mass standing behind a podium on C-SPAN that was identified by the chyron underneath as Jonah Goldberg. Agnes and I were there doing our Mike and Carol Brady best. And I stopped her, and she goes, "Who is he?" I said, "Honey, I don't have the time, and I'm moving on." "No, wait," she says. And when Agnes says, "No, wait," I wait. And he's sitting there talking about Jonah Goldberg, of course, this guy who thinks that Hitler was a socialist. No, really. He's sitting there talking about the origins of television news. And I was immediately reminded why it is best. Although, you know what, if you were doing a radio show that was being heard by millions of people who spent boatloads of time in front of the television, you would be well advised to watch a lot of television. But I don't have to worry about that with you guys, because you're not in that world. So I don't either. Except maybe tonight or something. Maybe I'll go back and catch some Tony Bourdain at 10 o'clock, because I missed most of last season. But anyway, it's good that I don't watch a lot of television, because it would just be one constant, you know, litany of, "Boy, go get me a fried peanut butter and banana sandwich and bring me the Elvis gun. I'm shooting the TV." And I can't afford to shoot TVs. Hell, I can't afford the ammunition or the TVs. You know, I ain't Elvis. But I'm sitting there, and Agnes says, "Wait." And I made that Archie Bunker noise. And I guess it's good that I did, because Jonah Goldberg was describing the history of the development of television news, as I noted earlier. And I really should have been paying attention, because I thought television, well, I had this whole picture of how the history of television news developed, and it weren't nothing like what Jonah Goldberg was describing to me. And everybody knows he's ever so much smarter than any liberal. Because Jonah Goldberg was explaining that television news happened because there was this new medium called television, and you had a bunch of hacks like Walter Cronkite who couldn't get a good job in radio, and radio was the news medium of the day. So they realized that they could just have a jolly old liberal time being liberal on the new TV box. I wish to God I was making this up. Ooh, careful. Am I channeling Michael Savage? Stop it, Bob. Stop it. Stop it, Spock. He's dead, Jim. Now, that's what he said. People like Walter Cronkite couldn't get a good job in the real news medium of radio, and therefore had to go to television. Now, there is no doubt that Walter Cronkite and others were definitely pioneers in television. Edward R. Murrow, anyone? But my God in heaven, Walter Cronkite, who has not been in the dirt that long, was a radio reporter.
Has Jonah Goldberg never heard those famous, famous, famous clips of Edward R. Murrow that painted the horrors of a war for an entire American nation that was nowhere near that war, nowhere near those bombs, but who could smell the smoke and see the rubble? As they heard the sirens ringing behind him, and he declared night after night after night during the Blitz, "This is London." Jonah Goldberg never heard of that. Because Jonah Goldberg doesn't give a damn. Because Jonah Goldberg has an agenda to advance. And that agenda is that the media have never loved conservatism because they're all a bunch of communists. But I know the history, and I know you know the history, and I know you've heard those recordings. You know that Walter Cronkite flew on Allied bombers in raids over Germany and was damned lucky to come back alive, and he did it to file radio reports. Because he had a job in radio. Contrary to what that miserable little freak Jonah Goldberg says. Well, time out. Not a miserable little freak. That miserable freak. I know that and you know that. But sweet Jesus, how many people out there don't?
Oh, well, that explains. Hey, Muriel, I done found out why the liberal media got its original chokehold on the television news box and why America has been poisoned by liberalism ever since. That's right. It's because they was no good hacks who couldn't get the work in the real radio news. Yeah. Well, Muriel, Jonah Goldberg just told it to me on the C-SPAN. I don't know if it's 1, 2, or 3. How the hell do you know? I ain't never caught you watching that. You're usually watching your stories.
How many people? How many times has that conversation or something terrifyingly similar to it taken place in this country? While some right-wing ass has pontificated on C-SPAN. And understanding that there is a profound threat that I will make everything about me, or us, or the horn, I will dare say that that is why this next step that we're trying to take with the horn, where we go places and we broadcast the events via the internet without the $50 bajillion worth of equipment and the satellite trucks going beep, 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 beep out in the parking lot, is so ever-loving important. And that's why we're pleased and tickled that we're going to get to do that with this conference upcoming in D.C., and among other things, that's why it's important that you continue to contribute and support these efforts. Because you know what? I ain't no damn pioneer. And at the hazard of speaking for him, I'll say the same for Guy James. You, however, are the pioneers. Because you got fed up with the professional broadcasting as brought to you by the likes of Jonah Goldberg and Glenn Beck and Savage and Hannity and that gloopy crowd. And you decided that you wanted different. And over the course of these 4 years and this newly embarked upon fifth, you have been personally responsible for the ongoing evolution of the horn. We went on the air on October the 24th, 2005, thinking that maybe, you know, I mean, we had the gizmo to take out all the dirty words. We were going to go to terrestrial radio, and I busted my ass, and so did Boss Man Wayne. But then it became apparent what the ownership structure is of
terrestrial for-profit radio in this country. It wasn't for want of talent. It wasn't for want of effort. It was for being ideologically wrong. And so we realized that what we were facing then and there was the fact that we would make it on the Internet and or we would not make it at all. And we've made it. You tell me anybody out there doing liberal talk with the possible, with the exception, not the possible exception, with the exception of Mike Malloy, who has done more with less for longer than what we've done. And it can go further, and it can go higher, and it can get bigger, and it can get better. I'll be the first to acknowledge that it can get better. Staff, production assistants, all of that stuff. But my God, what it is right now just it gives me little chills. And so I hope you will step in and help create that match to the $250 that Maura promised between now and this coming Friday. I hope you'll go to the headonradionetwork.com website and order the For the Love of West Virginia print that Diane so lovingly created. I hope you'll do that. Because all of that goes toward the furtherance of what you have already decided you want instead of the historical, idiotic revisionism of Jonah Goldberg or the climate scientist morons that Juanita referred to. There is a choice. You've made it. Unfortunately, we're not independently wealthy, and it has to be supported. Okay? Just saying. Gosh, I hope I didn't talk through this phone call. I did. I got going. I apologize. If you want into the program, that's cool. Jump right in. It's about 19 minutes before the hour, and I'm sorry that was in me and in the moment. It just kind of had to happen. Because, especially, you know, and there's so much of it, that stupid little black tie affair that the usual suspects, Rummy and Richard B. Dick Big Time Cheney and the rest of that felonious crowd showed up for to get their little league participation trophies. Hey, Dick, come up here and get your trophy. Thanks for screwing up the planet and our country for the last 8 years. At least you tried. Go have a weenie. The weenies are coming off the grill right now. You can have your choice. Ketchup, mustard, relish, onions, anything you want on them. It's all around us. There's damn near no getting away from it. They make it up as they go along, these morons. Try this. Try this one on for size, because this is just another little gem.
And if you've been riding the New York City subway lately, you may have seen some curious ads plastered on the walls. Now, they're spreading the word that you can live a great life without God. Now, ads like this one are hitting New York City subways courtesy of a $25,000 ad campaign launched by the group Big Apple Coalition of Reason.
And the ad says, a million New Yorkers are good without God, are you? Wow, that's dangerous.
And according to a spokesman for the group, the ads are meant to inform New Yorkers that, quote, a million of us have found or created natural morality and lead good, productive, and meaningful lives without appeal to religious dogma or God. Wow, how incredibly informative. Can you imagine the outrage if a Christian group put pro-God ads in the New York City subways? What outrage.
This clown has never ridden the subway in New York. Okay. Full disclosure, neither have I, but I know people who have. We got all kinds of New Yorkers who listen to this program. And because they are my eyes and ears out in the wider world that I will probably never travel to, never leave these hills and these hollers, but I hear about it from you. And you have ridden the subways in New York. And you know what's in the subways in New York. You know that some days you just can't, you can't swing a Hannity without hitting some idiot with a sign and a bunch of damn tracks right down there in the subway itself that says,
But he that believeth shall not be damned, and he that believeth not, the Son shall not see life.
Yeah. Can you imagine the outrage if a Christian group put pro-God ads in the New York City subways? What outrage. No, you got your verbal punctuation wrong there, life support system for a haircut, Hannity. It's not what outrage, it's what outrage? Because it's all over the place. But again, A, because of which day this is, Hannity is a moron. B, he is delivered to his job in a limousine, and he has heard somewhere along the way that there are these trains that run underground in New York. God only knows, it's probably down there with with the New York sewer crocodiles or something, but he knows it's something he's never seen and never wants to see, but this dumb bastard will call a Democrat somewhere along the way elitist. There have been pro-Christianity ads all over the subways for years, decades maybe. Before there was a subway, there were probably pro-Jesus ads on the sides of beer wagons traveling through the Five Corners. I mean, honest to God. But again, that moment with you, that moment that you know exists, that I know exists, Marvelaine, Hannity Dunn said the atheists is running advertisements in the heathen New York subway. I told you we don't want to go. I don't care if you want to see cats. We ain't going. We ain't going nowhere that the atheist is allowed to advertise their atheistness in the subways. Ain't going. Walmart's fine by me, Marvelaine. I don't need to go to no place that's named after Deputy Fife. I can keep on addressing out of Walmart. It's doing fine. Barney's. Hell, reckon every shirt comes with a bullet in the pocket. Damn New York. Atheists in their subways. Next thing you know, they'll be letting them out on top of the ground. What's this country coming to? Again, I submit to you, you know that conversation has taken place. You know that you know that those idiots exist in this country, and those idiots watch almost exclusively nothing but Fox. Nah, Sean Hannity's out there. He says, I travel on private planes. I have an SUV that I'm proud of. Don't know nothing about riding no subway. Because, see, Hannity's the elitist. There's nothing beans or cornbread about any of these right-wing bastards. And they'd no sooner eat a burnt-up weenie off the grill than they'd... You know. Flush Flemball, man of the people, please. How many men of the people take a prescription for Viagra under somebody else's name with them on a private all-boys weekend to the Dominican Republic? Man of the people, my ass. And they're out there. I expect to get an email any day now based on what somebody has seen imagined in their own fevered paranoid minds and created some sort of blast email that circles the planet faster than the truth can get its shoes on about how the atheists are taking over New York and they ain't allowed to pray in the subways no more. Tell me I'm wrong. And, of course, it wouldn't be we're not necessarily including the person whose name is actually Moran from Virginia in Moran Monday. But speaking of the same, but it's this thing can't help but become a feature, because they are the right wing morons are like some sort of sideshow, aren't they?
You'd say it isn't real. You'd say it doesn't exist. But it does, ladies and gentlemen. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Come right in.
It exists. It exists all over this country, this kind of right-wing stupidity. And apparently the Beck effect is having a big effect over at Fox. And the morons are absolutely running wild, flinging poo, and chattering amongst themselves. That psychotic blackboard thing that Beck was doing has now turned into an absolutely incomprehensible Obama change index at FoxNews.com. That's what they're calling it, the Obama Change Index, that keeps up with the impact of policies promised by President Obama. And it's based on a scale of 0 to 700. And, of course, it shows that the Obama administration is going straight to hell. And it's incomprehensible. And it's about as scientific as trying to decide something with eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Because you do know that you can dummy that thing up based on which way you start. Well, but you know that. I was so surprised when I found out. On the Obama Change Index, Obama is down 271 points. This week, he's just slipped to 282. We just don't know what the points mean. And apparently, it's impossible to find out what the points mean unless you pump up Glenn Beck with Thorazine, and after he gets done talking about his desperate yearning for little boys, finally begins to explain it all, over at the chalkboard. Mind-boggling. Representative Paul Brown, by the way, just to sort of wrap things up. You remember Representative Paul Brown. He's the one that got Barney fifed by Representative Alan Grayson. Well, what is a bill of attainder? Would my friend tell me what a bill of attainder is? Well, it's a bill, and it's about attaindering. See, you had these people, and they got attaindered, and they couldn't keep getting attaindered unless they had a bill. Well, what does it say about it in the Constitution? Well, if you keep getting all snitty like that, I may just not answer. Representative Paul Brown has now proposed a bill in the House of Representatives. As of last week, Representative Paul Brown has proposed legislation that would privatize Medicare and turn it into a voucher system, which seniors would then use to buy avarice-driven insurance. He did so saying, "We've got to fix Medicare. It's headed in a direction that's unsustainable." Bear in mind, he did this because his party got stone cold busted. How, you ask? Well, he got busted because I believe it was Representative Anthony Weiner who took to the floor of the House to point out that there is a whole bunch of Republicans out there who are on Medicare who are opposing the public option. No, really. Yeah. It was Representative Anthony Weiner. His office released an internal study showing that 151 members of Congress currently receive government-funded, government-administered, single-payer health care, Medicare. 55 out of those are Republicans who happen to be, in the words of the report, quote, steadfastly opposed to other Americans getting the public option like the one they have chosen. Mitch McConnell, Chinless Mitch, he's one. Chuck Weasel in the Grassley from Iowa. John Kyle, Arizona. John McCain, Arizona. Orrin Hatch, Utah. Richard Shelby from Alabama. James Inhofe from Oklahoma. Just every time you see his name, you just have to go, because he's nuts. Mike Enzi from Wyoming. And, oh, yeah, our favorite grandmotherly-looking hate monger, Virginia Fox from North Carolina, as well as Peter King from New York. They all get Medicare. They just don't want you to have it. Eh, the poor ye have always with ye. What the hell? So what a Monday this has been, this Moran Monday. I'm glad you could be here for it. Hope you enjoyed it. As ever, welcome to the Truth Seekers who have listened following Mike's show to this in rerun. I love hearing from you. You're welcome to chime in anytime. Thanks to John Fox, to Peter Godbold, to Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to all of you who made those challenges come true for both Guy James and White Rose Society. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, and coalriverwind.org. You know, told you at the beginning of the program, what we're facing on Coal River Mountain. And the only thing that can possibly stop it is by coupling your willingness and your activism to their unending bravery. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Shut up!
Show. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Hooray, 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 step right up, get your ticket to the freak show, it's Moran Monday on the horn, all revved up and raring to go, no one will be admitted after the first 5 minutes of the show beginning, Moran Monday on the right wing midway, step right up and get your ticket, you will be amazed, you will be surprised, you will be shocked, you will be horrified, hooray, hooray, hooray. Step right up right here. For the cost of, well, for no cost at all, you can see the right-wing morons on parade. See them here. No, you can't see them because it's radio. Hear about them right here. Listen to them here. Hear the invective. Hear the vitriol. Hear the bigotry. Hear the racism. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Step right up. It's Moran Monday on the horn.
Yeah, it really, really is. Now, well, there I've gone and done it again. And I got new shtick that I got to do every Monday. But it is. It's Moran Monday on the horn. That just came off the cuff a couple of weeks ago. But lo and behold, it seems to be entirely so appropriate. Because by the time Sunday is over and Monday has rolled around, the morons are loose like cockroaches on a dirty kitchen floor with the lights out. Oh my God, Becky, look at that moron. Yeah. And there he is in the chat room, the Get a Brain Morons guy. Now all we got to do is find a copy of that picture that Bart Kopp had on his site the other day. I'm so glad Fox News, thank God for Fox News, I'm so glad Fox News keeps us informed. Done in crayon. Yeah, thanks TCDYS, I'll take 5 tickets. Oh, you'll want them all, and you'll want to keep them as souvenirs. Hooray, hooray, hooray. In a past life, I was a carnival barker. Did you know that? Yeah. You know, it's just tough to look at that. And you know what the right wing has argued, by the way? I'm looking at the photo in the chat room. If you're not in the chat room, why aren't you in the chat room if you're listening live? Head on RadioNetwork.com. Easy, easy, easy. You know what's... that photo of the Get a Brain Morons guy in his Cardinals T-shirt with his blue and with his white polka dotted blue do rag over his moron head, little snippet of American flag in the background. Do you know? And I looked it up the other day because I was trying to find out a little bit more about it. Do you know that the right wing has argued that eponymous iconic photograph of right wing stupidity wasn't real, that wasn't a real right-winger, that in fact that's not a real moron? Well, it really, really is a moron, I promise you. That happened, and the Cardinals T-shirt is kind of a giveaway. That took place at the beginning of the Iraq War, I believe, near St. Louis, near a, I believe it was a Boeing factory that was... building things to blow up brown people with, if I recall correctly. You know, I don't watch a lot of TV. Most of me watching TV involves me being the typical middle-aged dad who sits down in front of the chair
or it sits down in the chair in front of the tube and just clicks for a little while until I've seen all the commercials there are to see. There's a new GE commercial out. Innovations for a better world. And yet, oddly enough, they don't show any of the munitions they make. It's all about light bulbs and jet engines. But God knows they do. They make stuff to blow. You know, GE. We bring brown folks' innards to light. Ugh. But it is Moran Monday. And, of course, the dude in the photo, and you've seen him all over the inner tubes. It's not a big truck, as Michael reminded us Friday night. It's a series of tubes. You just reminded me that, I think we all understand, don't we, that if he was back here today, Yeshua the brown-skinned Palestinian carpenter, brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer, would be a liberal, because there's no such thing as machine gun Jesus. And I think now, if he was saying the things that he said that were sketchily transcribed a couple of millennia back, he wouldn't say the poor you have always with you. He'd say the morons you have always with you. Because it's true. God, they're everywhere. I mean, everywhere. But of course, being what it is, they are most at home in the Republican National Party. And at their home, the Republican National Committee homepage. If you want to know what the web address is, you go find it out. I'm not a telling you. But apparently, there was something discussed at Democratic Underground over the weekend. And just as background, do you remember when MoveOn.org had a television commercial, a TV commercial contest, and people made their TV commercials and sent them in for consideration, and one of them just happened to compare George W. Bush with Hitler? Now, I don't compare George W. Bush with Hitler. I just note the fact that his daddy's daddy, did a boatload of business with Hitler's financier, which made it easier for Hitler to pay for the gas ovens that roasted 6 million and the munitions that helped kill 50 million others. That's all I say. But anyway, there was all kinds of pearl clutching and hand wringing and gasping all over the inner tubes and all over the for-profit TV box of right-wingers saying, I can't believe that Move On would put up something like this. This is just over the limit. This is just over the edge. I can't believe. Of course, being Republicans, they were lying because Move On didn't produce the ad. Well, neither, too, did Think I found this over at Think Progress. Neither, too, did the Republican National Committee create the ad that shows Barack Obama chewing on a piece of fried chicken. You know, one of those motivational poster kind of things, a black box with a photograph in it and white letters explaining it in brief terms underneath. The Republican National Committee did not produce this photograph of the President of the United States, the teeth exposed.